Trump has come out, and Trump tends to do what he says he's going to do. He's very serious about things.
The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen.
And that's the religion of peace.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts, the Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims.
It is the government's fault, isn't it? They took away stop and search because of woke. They actually stopped policing the dealing and possession of psychosis-inducing drugs within certain communities because of woke. They leave our borders wide open, enabling foreign cartels to run organized crime leading to violence on our streets, from snatchings to muggings to stabbings, because of woke. They've imported in tens of thousands of misogynistic men who want to assault, abuse, leer at, harass, even rape our women and girls, because of woke.
The government says it's not terrorism. Islamic terrorism does not exist, and you will be arrested if you say it.
Arresting you on suspicion of improper use of the electronic communications network.
What?
Over 12,000 people per year are arrested in the UK because of their social media posts. That's over 1,000 people per month detained and questioned because they're believed to have caused distress, offence, annoyance, or anxiety, not even necessarily to a specific victim, but it can be to society at large. This is under Section 127 of the Communications Act and Section 1 of the Malicious Communications Act.
Listen, you have to resign Keir Starmer, and there needs to be a general election in the UK. You are not protecting the British people. How many people have to die? How many innocent Britons have to die before you'll get your shit together?
So Keir Starmer has said it's deeply concerning what happened in Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire, on the train tonight, where 9 people are fighting for their life. Deeply concerning, is it? Not disgusting. Not outrageous. Not this shouldn't be happening.
And the problem that you've got is when you're a psychopath, for whatever reason, you as an innocent person don't have to do anything to wind them up and find yourself stabbed in the head. Normally, if you get into a fight, some kind of altercation, what it means is you've had some kind of row, so you're prepared for some kind of row, or road rage row, where that person might jump out the car for a fight, but you know what's coming. But if you're just a psychopath, you don't have to wind them up. They're already wound up.
And of course, your Home Secretary, this lady Mahmoud, doesn't want you to comment and speculate on the matter. Well, excuse me, it kind of looks like the real racists in the UK are Muslim people who hate white Christians, who want to stab them in these kinds of horrific attacks. You don't see white people doing this.
As the Quran says, God does not burden any soul with more than it can bear. We hope that you have a blessed and fulfilling Ramadan. Peace be upon you all.
As we've taken over the country, officially England's over.
Allahu Akbar.
A man has just been charged with murdering a woman who is let out of jail early by Keir Starmer under his early release scheme. He's let out 38,000 criminals and he's planning to let out 10,000 more. When he started this, he was warned by MI5, by the National Crime Agency, by the heads of our police forces that he was going to endanger the public. But he did it anyway.
Hey,
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It is the 6th of November, 2025, and we have a lot to talk about today. We got a lot of major news happening. The counterattack, on the deep state is on. And we're getting some more information about some of the behind-the-scenes dealings that were done in an attempt to screw Donald Trump. And hopefully the justice that we're all eagerly awaiting. So eager. So eager for the justice that God demands. We're going to be joined in the third hour by Scott Herndon. Herndon for Idaho. We're going to talk about something else that has cropped up quite a bit recently, which is the phenomenon, the continuing struggle that we have with men in women's locker rooms. I really thought woke was dead, didn't you? Didn't you think we'd solved this issue? Well, apparently not. So we're going to discuss what more must be done. We'll take your calls as well. Very big show. Stay tuned. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 6th of November, 2025. U.S. Supreme Court has questioned U.S. President Donald Trump's authority to use emergency powers to impose sweeping tariffs on trading partners around the world. In a closely watched hearing on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., conservative and liberal Supreme Court justices appeared skeptical about Trump's tariff policy, which has already had ramifications for U.S. carmakers, airlines, and consumer goods importers. The U.S. president had earlier claimed his trade tariffs, which have been central to his foreign policy since he returned to power earlier this year, will not affect U.S. businesses, workers, and consumers, but a legal challenge by a number of small American businesses, including toy firms and wine importers, filed earlier this year has led to lower courts in the country ruling that Trump's tariffs are illegal. And we're still awaiting the decision to be made here. If they do choose to, decide against Trump and eliminate the tariffs, it's going to be up to the government to, return $90 billion to the people who they've already collected tariffs from. Be kind of a disaster. And, of course, Alex was going off on this earlier. If you were listening to him, I don't need to repeat him. But it is very interesting that they seem to have absorbed unquestioningly the lies of the mainstream media that are calling tariffs a tax on the American people, saying, well, this raises revenue, therefore it's a tax. Therefore, it should be in the hands of Congress, not the executive. But that doesn't make any sense. Just flat out, that just doesn't make any sense. Just because something raises revenue doesn't mean it is therefore a tax. If the government wanted to sell buildings that it owns, that would bring in revenue. Is that a tax? Is there a tax because it brings in revenue? This is absurd. Now, the tariff is an imposition on foreign companies for them to get their products into America. And the idea behind them is we don't actually want to be entirely dependent and reliant on foreign trade networks, and we'd like to build things here at home. You can avoid tariff by building here at home. I'm not sure if I know of, taxes that you can avoid paying just by, not doing something outside of the country. That's not a tax. Maybe there's something I don't understand. You would think, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States would know more than me, but their argument appears to be it raises revenue, therefore it's a tax, which is just absolutely asinine. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever when applied to any other revenue raising policy that isn't a tax. It's just insane. Meanwhile, Kash Patel's girlfriend sues Sam Parker for calling her a Jewish spy. Quote, she's never even been to Israel. Kash Patel's girlfriend Alexis Wilkins has now sued a conspiracy theorist for claiming she's an Israeli spy. Country music singer Alexis Wilkins, the partner of FBI Director Kash Patel, has now sued Sam Parker and sought $5 million in damages for calling her an Israeli spy on social media. Newsweek reported Sam Parker is a former U.S. Senate candidate in Utah who's been questioning Alexis Wilkins' background and allegiance and concluded that she's an Israeli spy who was possibly set up with Kash Patel and by some other intel operative. Parker has a little under 100,000 followers on X, where he made a long thread on Wilkins proving that she works for PragerU, and PragerU CEO Marissa Strait is definitely a spy. Now, that is true. So this is why you got to be careful. This is why you got to think like an FBI director. You remember how when they wrote the letter about Hunter Biden's laptop, they didn't say it was Russian disinformation. They said it has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation, which is a weaselly way of them to interfere in the election, obviously. But there's a lesson there. See, I never said that Alexis Wilkins was a spy. I said she has all the hallmarks of an Israeli spy. Now, Marissa Strait is, in fact, an Israeli spy, and she does run PragerU. She brags about coming from Unit 8200, which is their psychological operations unit and digital army. And so, yes, I've pointed out that Alexis Wilkins works for PragerU, which their CEO is an Israeli spy, which would make her, well, she has all the hallmarks of an Israeli spy, but I would never call her one. How dare you? Meanwhile, Jeffrey Epstein claimed prosecutors offered his freedom if he agreed to implicate Donald Trump. This according to one of his former cellmates. Jeffrey Epstein claimed New York federal prosecutors, that would be Maureen Comey, told him he could walk free if he agreed to implicate Trump, according to his ex-cellmate. After his arrest on child sex trafficking charges in July 2019, Epstein was transferred to the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan, where he shared a cell with ex-cop Nicholas Tartaglione or something, Italian name, who was awaiting trial before being convicted on a quadruple murder charge. Okay, so a trustworthy fella. Just one of these, you know, incredibly honest quadruple murderers. Italian name, 57, now claims Epstein, who died a month after being arrested, told him prosecutors had offered to cut a deal if he'd snitch on President Trump, who was then in his first term. Now, I don't particularly put a lot of credence into the claims of a quadruple murderer, but this is what they do. I know for a fact they did this with Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers. So why wouldn't they do it with Epstein? In fact, who is the guy that wrote, he wrote some book on Trump and he interviewed Epstein and was like trying to get him to implicate Donald Trump as well. I have no doubt that people in power, including Maureen Comey, probably did try to sweeten the deal with Epstein. And I don't know why he would reject that. Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't. Maybe Trump killed him. Maybe he was going to implicate Trump and maybe Trump had him killed. I don't know, but we don't know, but nobody knows. He didn't kill himself. Somebody killed him. And they did so before he could implicate Trump. So there's that. Meanwhile, three more Chinese University of Michigan researchers face smuggling-related charges. Five individuals linked to the University of Michigan face federal charges for smuggling genetically modified nematodes from China, with shipments intercepted by Customs and Border Patrol. Three Chinese nationalists at the University of Michigan face federal charges for allegedly attempting to smuggle in these biological materials, which could cause massive issues with our, you know, ecosystem here in America. And this is, like, I don't know, like the 12th time this exact type of thing has happened. I have an idea. What if we don't have any Chinese students in our country anymore ever? Here's my policy. What if all of the Chinese students go home and none of them come back ever? I think we could do it. I think we could do it. Of course, the downside of that would be, no, there is no downside. Yeah, we should just expel all of the Chinese students and then end any student exchange program outright. That's my plan. That's my suggestion, because the alternative is to constantly risk allowing these obvious spies into our country with, you know, lab-made diseases that could wipe out our entire food system in like a month. So sort of weighing the pros and cons here, the cons are we're giving access to our universities to Chinese spies who are carrying around pathogens and biologically manipulated nematodes that could kill everybody. The pros are China gets a bunch of our intellectual property. Like, where is the pro for us? There is none. Meanwhile, and finally, Nancy Pelosi announces she will not seek re-election to Congress after nearly 40 years in Washington. On Thursday, Speaker Emerita, Nancy Pelosi announced she will not seek re-election to the U.S. House, saying, quote, I will not be seeking re-election to Congress and will step down in January 2026. Well, she should be in jail. Well, I hope her retirement is in a federal penitentiary because she has been integral in many of the scams that have systematically deprived the American people of our ability to vote or speak out against our government without the risk of arrest by the FBI. So Nancy Pelosi should not be allowed to retire. That's another one of my policies. She should be in jail. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. I don't even know what to plug with TheAlexJonesStore.com because everything's sold out. You guys responded to vociferously to our request that you go buy the knives. We have no more knives, so the knives are all sold out. Menthol and Red, all sold out. But I say that because that's how good our products are. I mean, we literally can't keep them on the shelves. It reminds me of when my older sister lived for a while in Bolivia. She was an exchange student in Bolivia. She would go down to the corner store, and she'd say, do you have any, Diet Coke? And they'd say, no, you know, we got Diet Coke once, but it sold out too quickly. We couldn't keep it on the shelf, so we don't order it anymore. It's like, you don't really understand capitalism, do you? I don't think you understand how capitalism works exactly. They're like, it's exhausting. We have to keep shelving, keep restocking the shelves every time we bring in Diet Coke. It's just, no, it's not worth it. Not worth it. It sells too fast. Or other things where they would sell oranges for, whatever, a dollar by itself. But if you got a dozen, it would be $15. It's like, no, you're supposed to, the more you buy, the less it's supposed to cost. Anyway, the point is we understand capitalism here. We actually want to serve our customers. And so we'll be restocking on some of those big selling products like the knives and the ultramethylene red. But in the meantime, ultramethylene blue still in stock. Ultimate life force. I've been taking the power plant, the methyl drive. I've been taking the Shilajit gummies, the Irish Sea Moss gummies. I've been taking the, what's it called? Starts with an N. I literally just took it 10 seconds ago. But we don't sell you things that we don't use, folks. We sell you this stuff because we use it, because we love it, because we know it works well. And we keep selling it. We keep selling out of it because our customers know better than we do just how powerful these products are. So go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. Purchase a supplement, join the VIP club, and get 25% off store-wide right now. And, of course, if you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison, I get a little kickback, and they know who sent you. So they know that you're watching the War Room and supporting us by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And in fact, if you go right now, it comes up with like a spinner thing. You can win even more money off, or you can win free shipping and all this other stuff. So there's like so many discounts, so many amazing opportunities to save money and get a fantastic product at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. And I got a lot of videos to go to today. Let's start with a fun one. We got a couple fun ones. The InfoWars audience is of course the reason that we're able to have any success whatsoever, but really are the secret ingredient. They really are the, how should I put this? They're the iodine in our CMOS. It's not a very good metaphor, but it works. But it works. It's the secret ingredient. You people are the powerful stuff that keep us going. Because after all, without you, when I'm just sitting in a big room talking to a bunch of empty cameras, it's when you take the footage, it's when you take the clips and share it online, it's when you spread the word in your real life, it's when you pick up the mantle of liberty and help spread it to other people. That's what allowed us to break through. That's what allowed us to dominate in the media sphere over the last several decades. It, of course, put a big target on our back, but we're happy to take those slings and arrows as long as we know you have our back and are supporting us every step of the way. We're together in this, obviously, and it's not just people taking our clips and uploading it. The creativity that comes out of the InfoWars audience is something to behold, and I want to give a very big shout-out to Braintree Studios. Braintree Studios on X, one of our regular callers, and a real craftsman. And he makes little action figures, and he made one of me, he made one of Owen, he made one of Alex. And then I guess he used some AI as well to make this commercial, but I just love it. And I almost feel bad playing it because it's like a mock advertisement, but it like makes me want to actually buy the toy, but we don't actually have these toys to sell. Maybe one day we'll have these toys to sell. In the meantime, enjoy the artistic rendering of Braintree Studio. Clip number 42. Here is Commander Jones. Let's watch.
Deep in the shadows, the globalist overlords plot their next move.
It's Reptila Rex and the Autopet.
I'll corrupt the country.
It's Professor Eugenesis.
I'll poison the food.
I'll Dr. Schwab.
You'll owe nothing.
And be happy.
Can anyone stop their wicked scheme? It's Commander Jones.
Jones bursts into action with his megaphone and mic, broadcasting freedom over the airwaves.
Go, Commander Jones.
Agent H. Smith will show him. Agent H. Smith fights to break their grip on reality. Leap into action with the blade of truth.
You can't rewrite the truth.
Known for confronting the globalist goobers and smashing their slimy schemes.
It's Destroyer,
the cuck destroyer.
Oh no, they lost him in the speech tank.
Not the deep state slime.
Available now. Only $14.99. Collect them all.
You want to fight?
You better believe you got one.
Yeah.
So good. That's so good. You must start working on that before Owen quit. We need another one with Brianna now. I don't want to seem ungrateful, but we need another one right now. No, that was excellent. And big shout out to Braintree Studio. And it's one of my most prized possessions, that little action figure of myself. It's one of the only toys I won't let my son play with, and it infuriates him beyond belief because it's got a little sword and everything. It's super cool. So again, it's just it is really humbling and sort of reinvigorating to know we have so many great, talented, creative people out there all aligned on this mission to rescue humanity from the evildoers. So thank you so much for that, Aaron from Braintree Studios. I got a bunch of other videos that are very funny in a sort of dark and twisted and haunting way. That is people being asked about Mom Donnie because they voted for him. And they just don't know anything. They genuinely don't know anything. I heard Anthony talking about this on the show, and I'd seen these videos. I was planning on playing them anyway. Let's go to clip 12 first. This is Cam Higby going around New York City asking people about why they supported Zoran Mamdani. Clip number 12. Let's watch.
Guys, can I ask you how you feel about Zoran winning?
I'm happy about it.
Why are you happy about it?
I don't know. I don't really know. I just do.
Really?
Yeah, because I keep seeing all the, like, cute TikToks of him, like, partying and clubbing. And honestly, he's, like, one for the people, you know?
That's why you support him?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. And there you have it, folks.
No, I mean, I hope that he can get some of the things done that he's saying he's going to
do. Like what?
Well, he wants to help people with their rent. He wants to help people with transportation costs.
Who's going to pay for that?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Well, look at this. This is your booth, right?
All right, enough.
Look at this.
Enough. I don't think you're here to have a...
I am. I absolutely am. You're out here selling Zoran merch, and you don't even know what he wants to do.
I just said a couple things that he wants to do.
But you have no idea how it will be implemented.
I know he has ideas about
it. He has concepts of a plan, right?
Every time. It's like geese to seed. Free food, free buses, free housing. They fall. It's literally geese to a seed. They fall for it.
It's like geese to the seed. He's exactly right. That's Cam Higby interviewing people. We'll go to a few more clips here. They're all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same response. Why do you support Zoran Mamdani? I don't really know. I don't know why I support him. Well, what do you like about his policies? He's going to give me free stuff. Okay, who's going to pay for the stuff? I don't know. Like, you've really never thought about this. You've really never put any... And she's sitting there with a booth. She's spending time. Maybe this is how she makes money. Or maybe she's volunteering. But she's out there setting up a booth. She's got all the Zoran merchandise. Doesn't know a damn thing about him, about what he supports, about what his plans are. Just, it doesn't matter. He makes cute TikTok videos clubbing. Yeah, democracy is a mistake. We have to end democracy. I am hereby declaring jihad against democracy. Okay? Because of women like this. Because of women like this, it is proven beyond any shadow of a doubt, these people cannot be trusted to have a say in who rules over us. They just don't care. Let's go to clip 13 here. Mom Donnie voter says, you know, they're going to tax the billionaires. And if the billionaires leave, they'll tax everybody else. Who cares? It's not her. She doesn't work. She doesn't make money. She doesn't know crap. Let's watch.
Well, how are we going to pay for it?
How are we going to pay for it? With tax money. With tax dollars.
Okay, where are the tax dollars come from?
Tax dollars are coming from all of the billionaires and wealthy people.
Well, they already pay, the top 1% already pays 50% of all taxes.
Can you?
IRS data reflects that the top 1% already pays 50% of all taxes. But I ask you, so if you tax the rich to oblivion, what happens when the rich leave the city? Who's to tax then?
They won't leave the city.
Why not? They've already done it in California.
Because in New York State, we have Wall Street. They're not leaving. And so what
you think they can't leave? Then who are you going to tax when they leave?
We're just going to continue taxing people. But you're
The middle class, right?
Yes, actually, the middle class.
Oh, okay, so you explained it. So we're going to tax the shit out of the middle class when the rich people leave after you tax the shit out of them.
I think we should tax the shit out of everybody, yes. I think the middle class should be taxed 50% like it does in Sweden.
I don't even have to say it. You all know it already. Now, it's funny because Zoran Mamdani gets up during his acceptance speech yesterday and says, you know, this is for the Yemeni bodega owners and the Afghan Uber drivers. And he has this whole list of, you know, people who should be deported. But if you actually go and ask those people about his policies and the effect that they'll have, they're going to be destroyed by his policies. It's the very people he claims to be helping. When asked about the actual implications of the policies he's pursuing, they're all worried about going bankrupt. Let's go to clip number 26 here as and a reporter goes around and interviews New York small store owners, small business owners. Let's watch.
He won, by the way.
He won.
They chose a knucklehead, so we're going to pay for it.
What happens if he opens up the government-run grocery stores?
I'm not with it.
Oh, you don't like the government-run grocery stores?
No.
$30 minimum wage. Can you explain how that might affect businesses?
I'm going to hell. This will be over.
How are they going to make payroll?
It's just about all the policy that he's trying to do, increasing the workers and the taxes. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
The minimum wage doesn't help the worker. It just helps the system. Pay more money, more taxes, prices go up.
Overnight, half of them will go out of business.
Well, I'm in a blue state. I'm sorry. But I've been red my whole life. Democrats always ruin, steal, rob, and lie.
Any thoughts on having him for 4 years?
What I can do is just swallow and try to face it, but it's not easy.
We're cooked. We're on the way to becoming a communist state. The
city's in trouble. They're in trouble.
Good luck.
I just love it. I love the, you know, unemployed artist in the park just being like, we'll just tax everybody, and then we'll say they can't leave even if they want to. And then you go to the small business owners, just like, yeah, this state's being destroyed. He's like, yeah, we're going down a very dangerous path. I cannot afford $30 minimum wage. All Democrats do is lie and cheat and steal. Because they actually understand the policies. The people that are in favor of the policies, they don't know crap about anything. The people that actually have to run a store and make payroll and pay their taxes are infuriated by this. So I guess democracy is a mistake. I guess we're learning over and over that it's not exactly a great idea to give the vote to a bunch of people who are dependent on the government, can and will vote for more free stuff for themselves. And you think with all of their books, with all their book learning in their universities, you think when you talk to a socialist, they'd have some sort of, you know, intelligent way to argue their point. They literally just want free stuff. I'm like constantly reminded. Beto O'Rourke was another one of these guys where it's like, wait, his entire campaign is just free this, free this, free this, free this, free this. It really is that simple to fool these idiots. You just offer them free stuff and they vote for you. They don't understand anything.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I got another man on the street video to show you here. This is from Kenny Webster, I believe his name is. Get the exact name, but Kenny Webster. He's a radio host in Houston. He says he was jogging through the park when he was confronted by a couple of communists. And again, we're in this situation, just like we just saw with Mom Donnie, where these people take time out of their day, print out brochures, they go volunteer to talk to people about a subject that they are terrified of discussing. It's so strange. These people are stopping a guy jogging through the park to talk to him about communism. The moment he pushes back even a little bit, they just like freak out and run away. It's so weird. It's like, if you believe in this so much that you're volunteering to go, you know, confront strangers in the park to try to sell them on this idea, shouldn't you be able to argue it for like at least 10 seconds? Shouldn't you have 10 seconds of argumentation loaded up, geared up, ready to go? They have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. And I thought the way that Mr. Webster conducted himself was absolutely excellent. Here's the video. This is we need more of this. I would love to see this like 12 times a day, and it'd be easy. I mean, they're still at the park. They're still out there. Wherever city you live, there's a communist at the park right now waiting to be humiliated in front of a camera, and that's your patriotic duty to humiliate them, just like Kenny Webster did. Here it is.
Hey, what's up? We're down here right now with a group of people who identify as socialists. Now,
communists,
even better. Let's count all the things the communists developed. The AK-47.
Yeah.
Let's do it right here. No, what's the point? You need those guys to help you? You want to talk to me? I'm doing it right now.
I'll talk to you.
Guys, I was doing something. I'm not going to follow you on an adventure. Do you want to have a conversation?
If you're going to be rude,
I'm not going to be nice to you. You're a Marxist.
Okay.
You guys are the enemy.
You're gonna be rude,
you guys are everything that's wrong with this world. You're parasites. You contribute nothing to society. You guys are bad people, right?
Okay.
Right now you're covered in clothing created in a corporation.
I don't want to speak to you.
What is this? You guys are engaging people. You don't like this? All right. Here we go. All right. Here comes the leader of the book club.
If you want to engage.
You guys want to talk to me.
Hey, if you want to engage in an intellectual and respectful conversation, I will have that with you. If you're going to come here and insult me,
do you see the hand motion?
You guys are parasites. There's no way we're not going
to
insult you.
Okay.
Parasite. Please move to New York City, guys. It'll be great. You guys.
You
contribute nothing. You contribute nothing. No, I can stay here. This is a public park, right? Hey, how's it going, guys? Look at this. Part parasite, right? Tell me one thing that communism's contributed. It's nothing.
We're going to look at the Bolshevik Revolution.
So thousands of people killed, right? Millions, really, right? More than the Nazis killed, right? A great accomplishment for Marxists. That's great that they did. And then what happened next? And then they killed more people than the Nazis did.
Nazis. Killing Nazis.
Right. No, and then they killed their own people. Mao, Stalin, Lenin. These are not good guys.
Stalin.
These are bad people, guys.
We don't follow Stalin or Mao.
Guys, this is what everyone says. They say, we're going to build the utopia. It's going to be different
you
this time.
What they're saying is,
this is, no, no, you cannot put your finger in my hand.
This is
the benevolent dictator.
I'm
look at
my finger
this,
in your face.
This
what
woman who's never built
it,
anything or designed anything or done anything in her life, she's going to create the utopia, guys. That's what every arrogant leftist leader says. And then what happens? More death than the Nazis.
Insulting. You have no intelligence.
Do you want to keep weak? Yes, of course. I'm giving you basic history. The AK-47. What? The Bolshevik Revolution? That's not an accomplishment, guys. That's just violence.
We're not going to engage
bullies. Bullies, there's five of you. There's one of me. You wanted to talk to me, loser. Enjoy your communist newspaper. You're incapable of having an intelligence. Move to New York City, guys. Find a Trader Joe's that works as well as the DMV. Enjoy.
With me, I would be more than happy to have that with you.
Lady, your IQ is lower than your body weight. What would be the point?
Get the fuck out.
Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Move to New York City, guys. You'll love it. You'll love New York City, guys.
1 verse 5, and it ain't even a fair fight. It's just well done. Just a round of applause for Kenny Webster. That was exactly how it needs to be done. He wasn't even really confrontational. He's just like, tell me. What is communism accomplished? I love this. The one thing communism has come out with is the AK-47, which is a feat of engineering, you have to admit. Then he's asked for more. He's like, okay, so what else? And the guy's like, the Bolshevik Revolution? Like, okay. Yeah, communism have invented things. Have you ever heard of genocide? Have you ever heard of mass starvation? We had a little something to do with that, actually. We had a little something to do with the brutal assassination of the Tsar in the 80-year-long experiment of human slavery and misery and collapse called the Soviet Union. So what do you think about that? It's like just brutal, brutal. And then they're like, you're bullying us. I'm telling you, what type of person goes out and starts confronting strangers in a park when they have nothing to say? They have no beliefs. They can't stand on their own. Like, they're handing out pamphlets. They're volunteering their time. And they flip out and start panicking the moment somebody's like, why? Why should I support communism? I just love, there's something about just like, he's not trying to get a rise out of them. He's just telling them in a purely factual way, you people are parasites. Not like, you people are parasites. It's just like, I'm just letting you know. You people are parasites. You've never built anything, and you want to take from people that have. And that's bad and wrong. It's like, and then they flip out, call him a bully, and then threaten to debate him. And it's like, okay. Okay, ladies. Good try. It was a very good try. But Kenny Webster made you all look like absolute fools, and we're here for it. Speaking of absolute fools having no idea what any thing means about anything. Let's go to another video. I believe this is also Cam Higby in New York City talking to Mam Dani voters. This time, not in this case failing to explain any of Mam Dani's policies or how they would work or who would fund them, instead asked to define the opposite, the thing that they're against, the thing they constantly invoke as a watchword, meaning that whoever is labeled with it can be killed, fascism. What does the word fascism mean, lady? This woman can't even string two words together. Like, it's not just like an inability to explain it. She loses her ability to talk when she's asked to explain a word that she invoked to explain why she voted for Mam Dani. Let's go to clip number 14.
Why are you out here protesting?
My name is Michelle, and I'm out here protesting because I'm against fascism.
Okay. What is fascism?
Fascism is the... It's... Words hard. Fascism words hard. Is the authoritarian... Why are words so hard right now? Sorry.
Why are words so hard?
Fascism is an authoritarianism that is about... Focusing on one demographic, right? So it's...
You can do it.
I'm out of breath now.
No, she's exhausted.
It's taking over and excluding the people. It's excluding smaller demographics. It's squashing opposition, right? So it's a regime that takes over for themselves and not for the actual people. This is supposed to be a democracy that is for the people, but this is just for them, and that's what fascism is.
Wow, I had no idea. I feel so enlightened. These are our intellectual betters. Fascism is when, like, bad things, okay? Fascism is when, like, people rule over other people, okay? We're against that. You mean, like, the government? Like, what are you talking about? It's when, like, small demographics, like, some do... I'm about to pass out. I know it's a word I've defined myself around being anti-fascist, but I've never thought about what it means. Pathetic, just utterly and absolutely pathetic. By the way, that's by a TikTok at Surge Philly, that person's name. So I guess I was at a anti-Trump rally. You know, it's just like, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do about these people? Like, what do you do when these are the people that, I mean, their vote counts just as much as yours, counts just as much as mine, and the entirety of their political understanding devolves to gimme free stuff, fascism bad. They don't even know what fascism means, so you can sort of slot any word in there. Bad thing bad. Bad things are bad, and I want free stuff. I'm a democratic socialist, and I'm the enlightened one, okay? I'm not one of those chuds, one of those... you know, stupid incels that understands the definition of words. I'm enlightened and above such trivialities. It's just, it's like painful. It's actually a little bit painful to experience this over and over and over forever. And knowing that that's the reason our country is basically destroyed. Now I want to go to another topic that is just the latest manifestation, the latest outbreak of censoriousness, and it has to do with the Heritage Foundation. Now, we've talked about this before when it first broke, and just to give you a recap here, and it's so convoluted and ridiculous and absurd, but Tucker Carlson interviews Nick Fuentes. Everybody starts calling for Tucker Carlson to be destroyed, even more so than they were previously because of his mild criticisms of the genocidal actions of the nation state of Israel. And as part of this, people notice that Tucker's name gets removed from the Heritage Foundation. People get mad. They say, what the hell? You're removing Tucker just because people are screeching? You're supposed to be the conservative watchtower. Like, what are you doing? And Heritage wanted to correct things and came out and said, no, we didn't disavow Tucker. We would never disavow Tucker. The whole point of our organization is to promote free speech and, you know, these American ideals and to hash these things out. We're not afraid of discussing any topic. And it was a good video. In fact, I want to go to that video just so you can understand how utterly absurd all of this has become. Okay, but this is the timeline. Tucker interviews Nick Fuentes. People realize Tucker's been removed from Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation comes out with a video saying, no, we didn't remove Tucker. We stand by Tucker. And then all hell broke loose. And it gets insane. But first, to remind you, clip number four, this is Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation, with the flag of the Alamo behind him, making a statement that would go on to be his most liked tweet ever, the most popular tweet the Heritage Foundation ever put out, massive support for this message that he immediately reversed and condemned because of the pressure from the Jewish lobby. Here's Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation making it clear that they weren't going to throw Tucker under the bus. Let's watch.
I want to speak plainly, both as president of the Heritage Foundation and also as an American who understands the urgency of this moment. Leadership requires owning the moments where we fall short, then using them to reset, refocus, and recommit. I talked about this today, as you may have seen, during our Heritage All-Staff.
We got to take this down. I pitched the wrong one.
I'm so grateful for my...
Let's go to clip number five. This was the original video, and I'll just play a minute or so, but this was the original video. This was the original statement where they were saying, no, we're not going to eliminate Tucker Carlson. My apologies. That was my fault. Here's the right clip.
I'll have more to say on this in the coming days, but today I want to be clear about one thing. Christians can critique the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. And of course, anti-Semitism should be condemned. My loyalty as a Christian and as an American is to Christ first and to America always. When it serves the interests of the United States to cooperate with Israel and other allies, we should do so with partnerships on security, intelligence, and technology. But when it doesn't, conservatives should feel no obligation to reflexively support any foreign government, no matter how loud the pressure becomes from the globalist class or from their mouthpieces in Washington. The Heritage Foundation didn't become the intellectual backbone of the conservative movement by canceling our own people or policing the consciences of Christians.
Okay, so that statement goes on for another minute or so, and that was the most liked tweet in the history of the Heritage Foundation from Chris Menahan at InfoLib News. Fun fact, Kevin Roberts' tweet defending Tucker from the venomous coalition was his most liked tweet of the year. Had he not caved in so quick, it would likely have been his most liked tweet of all time. Conning is literally forbidden from representing the will of the people, because now the hammer came down, the call came in, and he's been forced to reverse position and has been subjected to a struggle session that is so obnoxious and strange and offensive as somebody that genuinely believes in free speech. Now let's go to clip number four. It's a clip I originally played. So he made that video saying, we're not canceling anybody. And then he made this video. Let's watch.
I want to speak plainly, both as president of the Heritage Foundation and also as an American who understands the urgency of this moment. Leadership requires owning the moments where we fall short, then using them to reset, refocus, and recommit. I talked about this today, as you may have seen, during our Heritage All-Staff Town Hall. I'm so grateful for my amazing colleagues. My use of the phrase venomous coalition was a terrible choice of words. It caused justified concern, especially among friends and allies who know how seriously Heritage has fought and continues to fight against the rise of anti-Semitism. Everyone has the responsibility to speak up against the scourge of anti-Semitism, no matter the messenger. Heritage and I will do so, even when my friend Tucker Carlson needs challenging. My Heritage colleagues know, as do you, the work ahead is too important. Our conservative movement must be willing to wrestle with hard conversations, not avoid them. Last night's election results demonstrate this. The need of this moment is clear. We must articulate a bold, positive vision that convinces Americans that conservative policies will revitalize the American dream. The left isn't slowing down. If we want to win, truly win, we must grow stronger in every way. Here is what we are focused on moving forward.
All right, we can take it down. It's just weak, pathetic loser. That's all that is. Is anybody, you know, inspired by that? Does that feel like a strong leader? What does that even mean? I'm sorry for using the words venomous coalition. because we have a obligation to fight anti-Semitism. This is one of those instances where it's like you say venomous coalition and you have other people going, oh, you mean the Jews? And it's like, what? Oh, since when is the term venomous coalition an anti-Semitic trope? What does that even mean? No, it's a venomous coalition of moneyed interests that are pressuring Heritage Foundation to silence Tucker Carlson. Yes, they are a venomous coalition. They're a coalition, which means they're together, and they're venomous, which means their ideas are poisonous, acidic. They will destroy that which they are targeting. They are a venomous coalition. How is that an anti-Semitic trope? Somebody explain that to me. Now, if he called them a nest of vipers, that could be, you know, construed as anti-Semitism, but he'd also be quoting Jesus. So I'm very concerned about this. What do you mean you can't say venomous coalition? Because they're Jews? Is that what it is? If they weren't Jews, it'd be fine to call them venomous coalition. But because they're Jews, therefore, you can't call them a venomous coalition? That's what you're saying, Heritage Foundation, dude? Doesn't make any sense. And it's pathetic, and it's sad, and it's disheartening that you people think you have any place in the conservative movement. You are Quislings. That's the word for you. Quislings. He's like, I want to thank so much my colleagues for the wonderful time we had. You want to see the town hall? You want to see the struggle session that he was just forced to thank his abusers for? Let's go to clip number two. Here's the Heritage struggle session in full bloom. Let's watch.
I've been here for almost 17 years. I worked with many leaders of Heritage, all four presidents.
I think so.
Kevin has been a great leader. We're all doing great work. He made a mistake. I hated the video, but I think we all make mistakes, first of all. Some people have asked you to resign in this meeting. And I know you're a thoughtful person. You're going to go back to your office and you're going to think about this. I'm asking you not to resign. Because you
like, do you understand how sort of weaselly that was, what we just heard? The video that the guy made was totally unobjectionable. It was pure Americana. It was, we're not canceling Tucker Carlson. We're not going to bend, you know, to these people that are demanding we cancel somebody that we appreciate and enjoy. We're not doing it. We support conservatism, and we want to host a wide variety of conversations because that's how you get to the truth. That was the video he made. And then that person gets up and goes, you know, we understand you made a mistake. And it was a bad mistake. People want you to resign, but hey, I'm here to tell you, I don't want you to resign, even though you made that horrible mistake by making that video that I hated. What the hell is wrong with you? There was nothing wrong with that video whatsoever. But this is the struggle session they're being subjected to, where it's all being phrased as if this is for your benefit. I know people are saying to resign, but, and I want you to think carefully about that in the video I hated. But it was a mistake and we forgive you. These people attacking him and then saying, we forgive you. It's just sickening. It really is just sickening. We can go to clip number seven here. This was posted. This is a little AI rendition of what was really happening at the Heritage Foundation over the last couple of days. Let's watch.
Renounce Fuentes and all his works.
I renounce Fuentes and all his works.
Do you renounce the Groypers and all their works?
I renounce the Groypers and all their works.
Do you renounce Katari Carlson and all his works?
I renounce Katari Carlson and all his works.
Well done. Well done. Kevin Roberts, 2 + 2 = 5. You have fully indulged in the mind wipe virus. Let's go to this other clip, clip 10 here, because this is a little different. This is a little different flavor, okay? We've just seen Kevin Roberts be humiliated, be demanded that he apologize, and then apologizing for saying something that is not even remotely objectionable, which is sad because he's the leader of a very powerful and influential conservative think tank, and he is being shown up right now by pornographic actress Sydney Sweeney. It's a little weird, it's a little odd, but yes, right now we're going to show you how you should respond to these things. So Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation, he could take notes from Sydney Sweeney, actress with big boobs, okay? Because apparently she has a bigger backbone, she's got bigger balls than the leader of the Heritage Foundation, and she shows you how it's done. Let's go to clip number 10 now.
The criticism of the content, which was basically that maybe specifically in this political climate, like, white people shouldn't joke about genetic superiority. Like, that was kind of like the criticism, broadly speaking. And since you are talking about this, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that specifically.
I think that when I have an issue that I want to speak about, people will hear.
And it's as easy as that, folks. Conversation over. Why? Why is it that Sydney Sweeney has more balls than the head of the Heritage Foundation? What is going on here? How is it that the leader of the of a conservative think tank is there? I'm just so sorry. I just want to apologize and say I do. I am going to condemn Tucker, even though he's my friend. I do condemn him, and I'm just so sorry for you for using a phrase that somebody has decided is anti-Semitic, even though it's not. We just kind of move forward and move ahead. Meanwhile, Sydney Sweeney is just like, yeah, if I wanted to say something, you'd hear it. Yeah, if I felt like apologizing, you'd be the first to know, okay? That steely look. I'm in love. I'm in love, folks. Can she be the head of the Heritage Foundation? I'm sorry, can we give Sydney Sweeney the keys to the kingdom? Look at that look. It's a steely look. Was it so hard? Do you think that was so hard for Sydney Sweeney? I'll teach Kevin Roberts right now. Pay attention, Kev. When they say to you, oh, Kevin, oh, gee, in this political climate, we're really worried about the thing that you say. What you say to them is, shut up. Door's right there. See ya. See ya at the Shabbat dinner. Okay, that's a whole other part of this that I don't know if we're going to have time to get into. But basically, the Heritage Foundation is forcing everybody that works there to attend Jewish struggle sessions and brainwashing activities for Shabbat dinner. And they're like, I'm not religious. I don't think I want to do this. And they're just like, well, you have to or else you're anti-Semitic.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, like the tingling fingers and like this, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
This, like, everything I'm reading, and it's like, if you have a problem with any of that, you hate Jews and you are a Nazi.
Yeah,
see,
it's just not gonna, it's not working. And so the right is like, there are two factions inside of right-wing politics right now. There are America First conservatives, and there are international traditional, you know, neocon Israel, like, you know, like lobbyist people, right? Like, there are two groups of people here. And the infighting is why they're losing. They're losing because they're infighting. The reality, though, is that, again, the Israel issue is the Republican trans issue. I think 80%, a huge amount of voters are demoralized, completely fucking demoralized by the fact that they have politicians playing, like, kowtowing and playing patty cake with Israel constantly. It is. It's a massive thing. And the more that you play into that, and the more that you try to, like, oh, no, this is normal, this is fine, that's the problem. Pull it as you did with the trans stuff. Is not being pro-Israel, prioritizing a foreign country. So it's about 70-30. It looks like it's about 70-30, so, right? I mean, we've got like 1,000 votes in here. It's probably going to stay about the same, right? Is being lobbied by Israel a deal breaker? For me, I would say that the answer to it still, for me, is no, it's not a deal breaker. Because I'm pragmatic and I realize that there are other things that I would want to have happen, even if it's by somebody who I dislike. However, I think that for enough people, it is. 30% retards? Well, 30% of people might just be saying, okay, well, there are other things that I care about more than that, right? And so that's it. And so do we have military bases in Israel? Yes, exactly. You could even say that it is one. And anyway, let's go back. I'll listen to the rest of this.
You are a Nazi. I was like, what? Wait. I don't like my politicians not knowing which country they love more. I don't like being...
This is ridiculous. If you can't immediately answer, who are you voting for? Who are you voting in the best interest for? American citizens or Israeli citizens? And you're in the American fucking government? I think, you know what? If you can't answer that question, I have a different question. Do you want to go to Israel today or tomorrow? Because you're getting a one-way ticket there and you're never coming back. That's my opinion. That's it.
Censored for pointing out things that are true. I don't like a foreign country dictating censorship terms and destroying the First Amendment in my country.
Exactly.
I don't like being
surveilled
by drones run out of Israel. I don't like America or Germany's cybersecurity in the hands of Israel. Yes. I don't like the...
And I think that also Israel overplayed their hand whenever they showed how good they were at killing terrorists. Think about it like this. If they can pinpoint to surgical accuracy, the exact apartment building that a fugitive, you know, running from Israel, doing everything they can to hide from Israel, a military officer is in Iran, and they can bomb and kill him inside of his apartment and not even affect the rest of the building. That's scary. And the thing is, I bet the United States intelligence is that good too. Probably, I mean, I would hope so, right? I mean, we've got a lot more fucking money. I hope it's even better. Yeah, that's how Trump finds out where these people are and he bombs the fucking boats, right? That's how he is. And so they did overplay their hand with that though. And I think in doing so, they also earned a tremendous amount of trepidation. Because now you see, like, oh my God, these fuckers aren't messing around. This is serious. And I think that's a big reason too.
Sycophantic dedication that American politicians have to Israel when Israel seems ready and willing to pivot to China the moment they don't get what they want from us.
All right, folks, that was one of the most popular streamers on Twitch, Asmongold, reacting to yours truly. So I just want to show that. Thank you, Asmongold, for spreading the word, spreading the news. And, folks, we're going to be joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson this hour. But I do want to remind you, in the meantime, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for all your patriotic merchandise needs. Of course, the knives are sold out because they're too awesome and too cool, and we can't keep them on the shelves. But we've got all the supplements, all the t-shirts, all the hats. Plus you can win a gun safe. You can get discounts by playing the lottery game. There's all sorts of wonderful savings and products at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll be right back on the other side with Jeffrey Jackson to talk about health. Talk about health in the modern age and what RFK Jr. is doing to combat big pharma and, of course, climate change. We'll be right back.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson. He, of course, is on the high wire with Dell Bigtree, and welcome to the show, sir.
All right, Harrison, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for being here, and we have a lot to talk about today. What is your opinion on the success or lack of success from RFK Jr.? I feel like he's like one of the standout stars of the Trump administration and doesn't really get enough credit for what he's been able to achieve.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good view?
Agreed. 100% agreed. I've been covering him as a journalist, he talks at state houses, debates. I've been covering him for a decade before really a lot of people even knew about what he was doing, the advocacy with the World Mercury Project. And the one thing I can say about him is his message has stayed consistent no matter how much attention or not attention that he gets.
Right.
And he's been saying the same thing, and he's still saying the same thing. And what I'm seeing is the hit pieces that are coming out against him are indicative of where the power centers, where the spots in the power centers are, there's issues there. Mm. So the Tylenol issue is the start. He's building on a narrative to help these kids,
right?
Help pregnant mothers and their unborn infants. And he was attacked viciously about that. And in their own internal emails, Johnson & Johnson, then Kenvue, their own internal emails said, the evidence is looking like it's piling up here. We missed a bunch of studies in 2016. The neurodevelopmental issues with children, we see it. They knew it. They knew it. The FDA knew it. No one did anything. In fact, right, no administration prior to this administration has done anything for children with chronic health disease. This is the first administration to do this. So we're in uncharted territory. So when you're seeing these little movements and the media, corporate media, it's freaking out, that shows you where these power centers are. And none of the power centers are more powerful than the vaccine industry. And that is kind of the top of the food chain. And from there, we have the processed foods, we have fluoride, we have, Tylenol and these consumer drugs but all of this, these are synergistic issues.
Right.
Synergistic issues that pile up in these children. And we're learning that there's genetic issues where some of these children, infants, can't detoxify. So when the media says, oh, there's not a causal evidence that Tylenol is going to cause issues in these kids, well, they also can't say there's no evidence that it doesn't.
Right.
So what are we erring on the side? We're erring on the side of corporate profits or protecting the mothers and informed consent. That's the name of the game here. And that's what Kennedy's delivering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against heavy odds.
Yeah, very heavy odds. And, you know, there's so much speculation, like sort of in our realm of politics, that everybody's fake, everybody's a fraud, everybody's, you know, two-faced. And it's like RFK Jr. is one of these guys where, like, if he's not the real deal, no one is. Because he has been beating the same drum for decades. He has been on the same mission for decades. He gets into office and he starts achieving things in, I think, a very sophisticated way. Because I loved the way they did the Tylenol rollout. Because what I saw was an attack on the vaccine program. But by labeling it a Tylenol, you know, revelation, everybody, you know, started talking about Tylenol and people were taking Tylenol. But really, it was Donald Trump standing up there going, make sure you're spacing the vaccines if you have to get them. I mean, that was an attack on the vaccines, but by framing it as Tylenol, they sort of deflected the attacks that would have come from the vaccine corporations if they targeted them directly.
Right.
Am I giving up the game here? Or was this, you know, thought out this way? Cause it's not dishonest. It's just a sophisticated sort of strategic way of revealing information to avoid the backlash that could do a lot of damage.
Yeah. And you know, we have a legal team, the Informed Consent Action Network. Aaron Seary is our lead lawyer. And we had been on the Tylenol issue for about a year with some of the attorneys that were working on these legal cases against Johnson & Johnson and Kenvue. So we knew about this issue as far as the science was concerned. And so what happened was Kennedy and Makary through the FDA put out this basically we want them to give informed consent to the parents. Talk to your doctor. Doctors, be aware of this. It was very mild. And for the media to freak out like it did was, again, it's indicative of they're pushing on power centers.
Mm.
And what we did at ICANN was we put out a citizen's petition to say, FDA, go all the way now. Put this on the label forevermore. Whether Kennedy's there or not, whether he stays throughout his tenure or not, put that on the label so it will forever be there. Any woman that picks up a bottle and she's pregnant, she'll know, she'll have full informed consent. Don't rely on the government anymore. Don't rely on the companies anymore. And this is what it should look like. Consumer products and vaccines should have full disclosure of their issues. And that's been a problem because they have not been investigated fully. And when issues are found out, they're not told to the public.
Right. They're good. Covered up in a lot of cases. So what would you say are his biggest accomplishments so far, RFK Jr.? Because, you know, removing thimerosal is absolutely huge. I mean, what would you list as sort of the greatest accomplishments so far of the second Trump administration?
Well, I would say, and no disrespect to the people out there, because I know a lot of them that have been working to get the bad ingredients out of processed food and really just bring us up to par with what's in Europe, because they don't allow a lot of that stuff in there. But he's worked to get the dyes out of the processed food. Again, this is all synergistic effects harming children. So we're trying to just whittle away at this. That was low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. Again, not to take away from the mothers and the parents that have been working on this for decades trying to get this out of the food.
But you know what was fascinating about that? Sorry to interrupt, but it was the fact that, I mean, did that happen through government action? It seems like that happened a lot more through just awareness, and people became aware and corporations decided, hey, if we take out, you know, if we start cooking our fries in beef tallow, we get more customers. So really, it's the shift of awareness, shift of mindset that RFK Jr. has been at the front of. But it didn't need government intervention. It needed corporations to serve their customers what they wanted. Yeah. So I think that's like, it's an even better success because it didn't require the government. It just required America awakening to the danger of these foods.
And they have. And I think Victor Hugo, it was an idea whose time has come.
Right.
And that's what was happening there. And what I saw was when they started making these changes, food dyes are out. He was getting all of these corporate heads to Washington and having meetings with them behind closed doors. And they were doing it. And there wasn't much pushback in the media. And these corporations were going, oh, this is a new revenue stream. We have the health market now.
Right.
And they were just one by one going, now we have a whole big health products and we have people that love this stuff and we can tap into this industry that hated us because we put food dyes. Now they're customers. They rolled over very quickly, and you could read their stock market meetings, their quarterly meetings, and they were actually boasting about, here's our new product line. It's this protein. Okay, great. That's what we want. We want that. We're not seeing that with the vaccine industry. And I keep going back to this because that has been the most protected industry, maybe next to government weaponry that we've ever seen. You can't sue them. And I can go into that a lot further because that's been a lot of the work that I've done over the last decade. But the informed consent with the COVID vaccine, that dealt a death blow to that program, the final death blow to the COVID vaccine. It didn't save millions of lives. Studies have shown now that is not an accurate conversation. It actually has harmed people. We have the harms mounting. They're still being discovered. Myocarditis has just been put in this journal from the American Heart Association titled Circulation. It's the biggest journal, number 3 in the world in impact. And they have found the mechanism. It's an autoimmune mechanism of myocarditis. That's how the vaccine causes damage. Not my words, but theirs. That has been published and that's out there now. It's not going back. And it's not from the actual COVID infection. In fact, there's a lot of studies showing that people with COVID infection have no heart issues.
Right.
So I think what he's done to shed light on the COVID vaccine, because as you and I know, that was a rolling out of control issue it was the genie that was out of the bottle. And I, there was a point where I wasn't sure we were going to ever pull out of that. And,
right.
And so the fact that he was backing off that, you know, I was talking to the team this morning, Dell and the team at the Highwire, and I believe it was Dell that mentioned, he said, what would you do if you were Kennedy? You come in, you've been talking about the childhood vaccination schedule and the issues with the safety testing and the fact that none of them are tested with placebo control before licensure. And the safety testing was to the tune of just a couple days after injection, especially with the Hep B vaccine. And you have a president who hired you that his greatest accomplishment, one of them, was the COVID vaccine. Right. What do you do? Do you go attack his baby? And maybe get kicked out of your position and sacrifice the childhood vaccine schedule that you've been working to change and to bring awareness to the science? Or do you try to move within this paradigm to get as much done as possible, do the most good as possible? So that's what I see from the outside looking in of how he's operating.
Right. Talk about a high wire act. You really gotta, balance the concerns that you have. And of course, you know, I'm not a fan of the COVID vaccine by any means whatsoever. I also understand why Trump wanted it released because the economic concerns were so, you know, devastating. Where do you think Trump is on the COVID vaccine at this point? He still touts it, but then he's, you know, there's these stories of he's asking people behind the scenes, why don't people like the vaccine? What am I missing here? I mean, do you think he's woken up to the reality at all?
I don't know. I don't have any inside sources when it comes to Trump, but it seems like his rhetoric has backed away a little bit. Every once in a while, you'll see a comment. It's like, whoa, what did he say that for?
That's interesting.
But I think having Kennedy in there, putting him on track, that's the best we can hope for. In the vaccine itself, I think you covered this a couple days ago, but Associated Press showed that the fall vaccine push, Moderna is expected to lose 50% of its revenue from the COVID vaccine. Pfizer's expected to lose another 25%. And this is revenue now. They're getting hit. This is a product that cannot compete on its own without a mandate by the government forcing it down people's throat. How long do you think this thing's going to last with all of this research coming out saying it for sure injures kids' hearts, to the tune of, I think, 1 in 2,600, Makari said. So I don't know how long this thing's going to last, but if that goes, behind that is the childhood schedule. Behind that, because there's a lot of doctors that have woken up to the COVID vaccine issues, but they don't understand the childhood schedule. And when they see that, and they're seeing it very quickly now, they go, wait a minute, it can't be like this for the childhood schedule, because we rushed into the COVID vaccine, but with the childhood schedule, we've had decades to do the science. We've had decades of looking at this and the mountains of studies that no one can seem to find the mountain anywhere, but they're being told it exists.
Yeah, that's one of those phenomenons where they do just sort of assert that stuff. And especially when it comes to autism, it's always, you know, oh, vaccines don't cause autism. We know because we've never done the study. And it's kind of like, what? Wait, if you've never studied this, how can you be so confident in saying that it doesn't cause it? It's just they have this way of just asserting these things that have no factual basis, and then the media runs with it. It's hard not to see it as a conspiracy, as them being aligned, because otherwise, why isn't the media asking questions? Why isn't this being questioned over and over? They're just allowed to assert this stuff. It's very infuriating when you know the truth.
Yeah, and you know, you asked me, like, what are Kennedy's greatest accomplishments?
Yeah.
He's kind of like this Pac-Man. He's going. And, and he's doing great. Everything's doing great. And what I'm seeing is, like, the ghost up ahead, like, oh, how's he gonna eat that one? What I'm seeing, one of the big ones is reforming the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Mm. So this is, if you get injured by a vaccine, a lot of people still don't know this, there's two programs. If you took the COVID shot, you get funneled into the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which is called a black hole. That's what is written up in Reuters. And you have 1 year statute of limitations to file. So think about that. You get the shot. You don't even know the government held back the fact that this thing was causing heart damage for months. And so you don't even know if your statute of limitations passes, you're out of luck.
Right.
Plus, it pays out barely anything. It's paid out a pittance. I think about 20 people have received payouts just to the tune of a couple grand here, a couple grand there for some medical bills, nothing. National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is different. That's for the childhood schedule. You get 3 years, and something big just happened there. We have the second case of SIDS. This is sudden infant death syndrome. Mm. And this is something that's been talked about, it's obviously unexpected, but they call it a syndrome because the government and scientists say, well, we don't know. There's just a certain amount of percentage of babies that just die. And we don't know. So we just call it a syndrome because we don't know what it is.
Right.
And they, even though the Institute of Medicine said there needs to be more research on children that are susceptible to vaccine injury, it's not really been done to see who's going to get hurt before that shot goes in the arm. They right. don't know. So SIDS is this warning signal that there is an issue there. In July of this year, it's Sims versus HHS. These parents lost their daughter, literally went to a well baby visit in the morning, got shot with five shots, at the same visit, died that night. These parents, luckily, they retained great expert witnesses, because what people don't know is this injury compensation program, you have to sue the government, the Department of Justice attorneys, who you're basically suing Kennedy and HHS. So right. you're going against the government as parents. Think about this, that lost your children. You have to get the expert witness. You have to prove the science that the government has not done purposely, because it would incriminate itself right. in these court cases. So the government has an incentive not to do the safety science because it's going to be used against them. So these parents, they decided that they were going to do that. They proved it. The expert witnesses proved it. It was a brain injury, encephalopathy, it's called. And if you go into this court case, you can look at it, that the Department of Justice attorneys, just to give you an idea of what you're up against, they actually argued, because the table injury says you have to prove for 24 hours there was brain swelling, encephalopathy. Mm. The child died. It was about 6 to 8 hours later. So the Department of Justice attorneys actually contested it and said, you know what? You can't prove that because it wasn't 24 hours.
Because it was under 24 hours, they're saying it doesn't count?
Because the table injury says it has to be 24 hours of brain swelling. And the autopsy showed the brain is swollen. And so luckily the judge, the special master, this doesn't happen in a lot of cases, ruled on their side. I talked to my friend and colleague, Wayne Rohde. He wrote Vaccine Court. He's the world's expert in this vaccine court and the legal processes. He called me right before I came on the show. He didn't know I was coming on the show, but he asked me, he said, you hear about this? Another Rodella versus HHS, another win. Again, these are really rare to prove SIDS exists, and it's a vaccine injury. Very rare, almost impossible in vaccine court. Two have happened this year. We have Florida with S188. This is Ileana Garcia. She put this bill forward. She's forcing medical examiners to, in the autopsy, they're forcing them to do toxicology studies and to list on the medical records the last vaccines they had. Medical examiners are not mandated to do that. And if they, so this bill is in session, it's moving through, hopefully it'll pass. And if it passes, those autopsies and those doctors that don't follow this, they will be fined. If they don't do it consecutive times, they'll lose their license. So it has teeth in it. This is good. This is a movement that's happening now, and we have Dr. Gary Goldman. He's a doctor. He just put out a paper that shows the mechanism. He hypothesized that these are kids that can't detox.
Right.
For some reason, they're genetically susceptible. Their detox pathways is called cytochrome P450. It's a liver enzyme that detoxes excipients. Mm-hmm. Vaccines have aluminum. They have polysorbate 80. These kids can't detox this. Therefore, they become overwhelmed. And you get this cascade of this. It's called cytokine storm. And so, you know, my question is SIDS, is a percentage of SIDS a flag for everyone to look at and go, this is a catastrophic vaccine injury. And this is one of many. I mean, autism. There's massive amounts of evidence that show that this is also a vaccine injury. It could be a culmination of a lot of things, but the vaccine is one of the culprits. Are these big flags being put up for us to look at? And this is what I see Kennedy is able to do. Now, Kennedy has said that the vaccine court, it needs to be moved out of the government's hand. Maybe private individuals can sue. This countermeasures injury compensation program needs to have a longer statute of limitations. All of these things can be moves that Kennedy can make here that would change this conversation forever. And these are the big chunks. If he takes these chunks out, the whole conversation has changed.
I mean, autism is already huge. Just the fact that he has been able to, you know, establish, you know, the at least one particular cause with Tylenol lowering the blood-brain barrier and, you know, allowing in the toxic parts of the vaccine. I mean, that's huge. And again, it's like, it's weird that we live in this world where they can come out and say, we have cured autism, or we have, you know, found the mechanism that causes autism. And it's like not even a big story. It's crazy. But I think SIDS would be even bigger. Because, I mean, especially like if you have a kid, your first kid, like you're terrified of SIDS. It's this idea that like, yeah, you know, your kid might just die in the middle of the night one time. And so like, you know, the psychological stress of like waking up every 10 minutes being like, are you breathing? It's like, if that's all because of vaccines, which a lot of us have, you know, supposed for a while, or, you know, we think that's what it was. But are you saying there's actually now like evidence and they're winning court cases showing that vaccines are causing SIDS? We just saw a video. SIDS is one of the most common causes of death for infants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's wild.
Court cases against the Department of Justice attorneys in a special master's vaccine court, which is a whole different court than most people understand it to be.
Okay.
It's a really big deal, and it's something that I think a lot of people don't really understand because it doesn't get a lot of attention. I mean, these aren't stories you go out and get a lot of clicks and views on, because they're not happy stories, but they need to be told. And I mean, these are the stories that I think, if Kennedy's legacy is already written in stone, it's already obvious. But if he can change this, you're talking about a massive industry. The ACIP committee, this is the committee of the CDC that Kennedy fired the entire committee, or released them and then restacked them with people, I would say, the media will say, with conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers, but basically open-minded people, you know, like Robert Malone, who created the mRNA technology for the COVID vaccine, like that guy. So these people are now looking at it objectively and saying, all right, let's look at the real evidence. And you saw thimerosal get kicked out. Kennedy just went recently and said he's challenging the rest of the world. So he put the stake in the ground. He put the flag in the ground. So we're not putting a neurotoxin like mercury in our vaccines anymore. Now do it with the rest of the world. He's calling on the rest of the world to take out the vaccines. There's no reason it should be there. And industry already said that they have other things they can put in there besides, so they have an out. He's saying do it. The next in line is aluminum adjuvants.
Right.
And you can see them they're terrified that this is going to be taken out. You see Scott Gottlieb, who went from the FDA commissioner, revolving door, landed his butt right into the board of directors of Pfizer. Kennedy didn't even say anything about aluminum. He's been out for the last 2 months talking about they're going to take this away. Paul Offit, same thing. They're terrified this aluminum adjuvant is going to be taken out. 3,000 micrograms into children before age one in the vaccine schedule. And this thing, the reason it was put in there, it's a adjuvant, which means it stimulates the immune system to get it going, to rev it up.
Right.
When this virus comes in. So the immune system can say, oh, that's a bad virus. I'm going to just have this immune response to it. The problem was they used a guy named Robert Mikus, who did a math equation basically on ingested aluminum to kind of see, like, let's just estimate. I guess this would be okay for injected aluminum, but we're not going to do a lot of robust studies. That's what the FDA used. And it's been crazy that that's been the standard for this long, but it needs to be looked at. That's the next thing. Kennedy, most likely through the ACIP committee, most likely they'll look at that. They'll look at the Hep B vaccine coming up. I'm sure you'll cover this, but it's in February. February 25th, I think, is the ACIP committee. That's going to make tons of headlines because the Hep B vaccine is next in line. It's the first shot given to kids for sexually transmitted diseases and shared IVs. Like, I don't know how many one-year-old children are doing that.
It's the most insane vaccine ever, right? Especially because, they want you to give it to your kid before you're out of the operating room. Like, as soon as they're out of the mom's body, they're trying to inject them with this Hep B virus. It is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I want to say too is, on the flip side of this, when people say like, well, this is the science, whatever, for SIDS and for the Hep B, you mentioned that, it just brought up in my head. A lot of times, if you don't take that shot before you get out of there, some of these hospitals will call CPS on you. Some of these hospitals will call Child Protective Services on you, and then you're filling out a form or you're getting interviewed or interrogated why you don't give your kids the shots. For SIDS, some of the parents get accused because the child's brain swells. They get accused of abusing the kid.
Oh my God.
They have to answer to police and detectives why they didn't abuse their kid or beat their kid. And so this is what's at stake, because that dark rabbit hole is really dark. And when you research this, I mean, it's almost a form of war reporting when you research this. I've been doing it for 10 years, and it's like, we don't want to go down that road anymore.
Right. I will never forget reading The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK Jr. And I'd read a page and I'd have to just set it down and go, oh my God, what is going on? Because the rot is so deep. And so I'm very satisfied with what RFK Jr. has been able to do so far. But I mean, we're working to, unbuild the pyramids here. Like, there is entrenched corruption that you couldn't even imagine. More on the other side with Jeffrey Jackson. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in here. He's hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in. These are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto shipping. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buy anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Jeffrey Jackson of The High Wire. And is that thehighwire.com?
Or it is, yeah.
Thehighwire.com. And how can they follow you on X?
Same name, Jeffrey Jackson. Jeffrey spelled a little weird, so check that. But yeah, Jeffrey Jackson on X, that's it.
And I was blown away by it because I was seeing little hints at this. I saw sort of rumors about it, but this is the actual court case. From Vaccine Antidote on X, here is the proof that the DTaP vaccine causes encephalopathy leading, how do you pronounce it?
Encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy.
Brain swelling.
Leading to the death of an infant. This is backed up by medical examination, expert neurological testimony, and peer-reviewed science. It is not just words on a package insert. It's reality. How many SIDS cases are really encephalopathy? It's sad because I actually, anyway, I know this because, when my daughter was a week old, we had to take her to the hospital, and they were very worried about, you know, this. But this is it. I mean, this is huge. How is this not a bigger story? I mean, you would think with the threat of SIDS, the horror and terror that young parents experience, how is this not a main headline on every major news story?
Right. And think about this. We have one or two or three cases of bird flu, which someone gets like pink eye.
Right.
They're a worker, you know, working with birds or chickens. And we shut down the entire country. We're killing flocks. We're working on vaccines.
They're killing all the ostriches in Canada. Yeah.
For a couple dudes with pink eye that they're recovered in a couple days. Like think about the priorities here.
That is just wild. And of course, I always point out, like, you talk to a pregnant woman, they're not eating deli meat. They're not eating sushi. They're like so hyper focused on what goes into their body and for very good reason. I'm not condemning that. It's like, that's how they should be. And then the instant they give birth, it's like, yeah, inject them with, you know, 3000 milligrams of aluminum. Why not? It's like, it's so bizarre. You spend so long being so concerned about what's going into your baby's body. And then you just let a doctor shove a needle in his arm and fill him up with toxic metals. It's insane.
Yeah. Our attorney, Aaron Seary, just put out a book called Vaccines Amen, and talking about how the entire vaccine industry is more of a religion.
Right.
Because when people are faced with the facts that should know better, they have emotional responses rather than, oh, I should look into that more, because these are the same facts that they've trusted the CDC on for years. But when the CDC can't find any research that shows vaccines don't cause autism, when they're asked, they go, oh, then it's an emotional response. So it's more of a religion at this point. You'd be hard to argue that it's a science.
Well, that's a good sort of bridge between that and like climate change, because that's what it reminds me of, this religious impulse, this idea that facts don't matter, like evidence doesn't matter. And of course, with climate change, it gets to an absurd degree where they're literally cutting down forests in the name of climate change. And it's like, this is so bonkers. It's like religious fanatics, that there's no logic to it. It's just, you know, total commitment to this nonsense idea. And I know Bill Gates, what do you think has happened with Bill Gates and moving away from climate change? I've got other clips from COP30 today where they're saying that no, climate change really is a big deal. I mean, what do you think is happening here? Because, and help us tie it in together. Give us the big picture, how vaccines and climate change, how they're all sort of part of the same operation being foisted on the American people or people all over the world.
Yeah. So, well, we talk about Bill Gates, Mr. Hand Waver. The more his hands are waving, you know, you got to watch out for that guy when his hands are waving, he's coming towards you. So got a question. What he's saying. So he recently came out and said that climate change is not this threat that he's been talking about for a decade, talking about, you know, pestilence and starvation and mass death. And, oh, by the way, it's not that big of a deal. I think his words are people will survive and they'll thrive for the foreseeable future. So we're all good.
Wow.
But in that same breath, I don't know if you have the clip, but in the same
we
breath,
do.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to pivot here to vaccines.
What a surprise. And of course, the biggest problem in the universe is overpopulation, and how we deal with that is vaccines. He's made that comment quite a bit. Let's go to this Bill Gates clip in case people haven't seen it. Here's Bill Gates starting to downplay climate change for a suspicious reason. Let's watch.
Climate is a super important problem.
He's not wearing his pink sweater either.
There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes. We won't achieve our best goal, the 1.5 or even the 2 degrees. And as we go about trying to minimize that, we have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate.
When the climate activists who have been very supportive of what you've done and you've been very supportive of what they've done read this, and if Greta Thunberg is reading this and saying to herself, my goodness, he seems like he is reversing himself, what would you tell her?
I'd say, wasn't the goal here to improve human lives? And shouldn't we, in our awareness of how little generosity there is to help, measure, you know, should we get them a measles vaccine or should we do some climate related activity? And if we stop funding all vaccines and that, you know, saved you 0.1 degree, would that be a smart trade-off? That's the kind of question we have to ask. So I'm a climate activist, but I'm also a child survival activist. If you think climate is the only problem and it's apocalyptic, or if you think climate's not a problem at all, my memo will make no sense to you. You'll be like, oh no, it should all be climate. Or you'll be like, why are you even still talking about this climate thing? Why do you invest billions of your money into these companies? The middle position that climate is super important, but has to be considered in terms of overall human welfare. I didn't pick that position because it's a, you know, everybody agrees with it. It's, I think, intellectually the right answer.
It sounds like they lost the argument is what it sounds like to me. I mean, it almost reminds me of the way that after, the COVID lockdown, they come back and go, you know, it turns out that, you know, that really hurt a lot of the students shutting down the school. And it's like, really? Because I remember we were making that argument and you were saying that we wanted grandma to die. So it's kind of a similar thing where we're going, hey, sure, if you want to fix the climate, that's one thing, but you're hurting humans and you're going to starve us all to death. Like, what are you doing? So it seems like they've come around. I think that was a, admission of defeat by Bill Gates.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's arguably the main driver behind the fear campaign of climate change. I mean, giving generations of kids anxiety and depression because they think the world's going to end in 5 years.
Yeah.
They were told that by him. And so now he's coming out and saying, whoops, sorry, you know, my bad, but it's not going to be, but I'm going to. So there's a massive, massive, large grouping of money here, a huge fund that's been drummed up on the back of climate change fear for over, you know, probably since arguably late 1960s, that's sitting there. And he's saying, he's a businessman. So he's seeing the banks pull out of their climate commitments. He's seeing a lot of the companies saying, you know what? We're not going to give you our business plan of how we're going to help the planet not warm 1.5 degrees. We're done with this. He's seeing that and he's saying, let's take those funds and put them back into those shots that I used to do. Like, I want to do this. But it goes back to, I mean, let's connect this in here. It goes back to the Club of Rome, late 1960s, you have Alexander King, Aurelio Pachai, then the MIT limits to growth and all of this drumming up of this, the planet has a carrying capacity and we're going over our limits and there's not enough resources for people. And you have Paul Ehrlich, you have that guy coming out and making the rounds and really scaring people on this. And right off the back of that, they create, I believe, I can't remember Alexander King's book, but he wrote a book and he says, look, we make man the enemy. Man is the enemy of this. And climate change is an issue. We're going to tell people climate change is an issue and man is the enemy. And that was the game plan. He told you right in your face. And right after that, that's late 60s. After that, you see the National Security Study Memorandum 200 with Kissinger. And he says, look, this is how we're going to lower fertility in the lesser developed countries. We tried contraception. We tried information campaigns. That doesn't work. So now we have to ramp this up and we have to actually do this forcefully. And who does he say in that memorandum? He says USAID and the United Nations are going to run these campaigns. And sure enough, in Peru, that's exactly what they did right after that. You have USAID confidential docs that are now out in the public showing that they were running these sterilization campaigns in Peru and so many other countries. Mexico, you saw the fertility campaign things with the tetanus vaccine in Kenya as well. You had the bishops come forward and saying, we're finding basically sterilants in our vaccines.
Yeah, they're being sterilized. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the climate change conversation. Then when you see John Kerry come out and say, in order to save the planet, we have to stop farming. Excuse me? We have to stop. In the Netherlands is saying, you cut fertilizer immediately. It's the Heiber Bosch method. That's the industrial fertilization creation that's allowed the planet to feed this many people. You cut that. You cut nitrogen out of the nitrogen fertilizer. You're cutting the planet in half at that point right there. So you can see it at that point that it's straight up eugenics. It's what it is. And you just call it for what it is. And people, if you're hearing that for the first time, well, God, probably not your audience, but you have to call it for what it is, and we bring it down right to the individual level because a lot of people hearing this and seeing this may go, this is huge. What do I do? This is Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. What am I going to do about this? Well, it's coming to a theater near you. In Denmark, I think we have I sent over a clip of this, but in Denmark, they're forced, mandated by the government to feed their cows, this methane busting feed. Basically, make your cows fart less for the earth. And when Bill Gates says we have a lot of great technology that's going to save the planet, so the planet's not a big deal anymore, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this science in quotation marks. They're mandated to put in a cow feed. This is breaking news. Listen to what this this woman has to say. This is a cow farmer from Denmark, and this is what happens to their cows when they're giving them these.
Yeah, let's watch this video.
And me and my husband, Jan, we have a farm in the northern of Denmark. We come from originally from Holland, and we moved here 4.5 years back. And I would like to tell you a little bit about the law in Denmark about feeding bovaire to our cows. It's the law since this year that we have to feed 80 days of bovaire to our cows. It's a rule, and if you don't do it, it's just like you can go to the prison, or you get like a big fine, a really big fine. So most all farmers just do it. What happened is that we started on the 1st of October. Most of the farmers do it in Denmark. It's because it's a little bit in the end of the year. It's not warm, so no heat stress and everything. So we hope for less problems. But we started in the beginning of October with low doses, and we raised it up till the full doses around the 20th of October, a little before. And on the 30th of October, we really got problems. It started with, on that day, we have robots, so we have a health list on the computer. And on that day, we had like in one group, we have four groups of cows in our stable. We have one group with 36 sick cows. We milk on daily basis around 480 cows.
And if you look for them, you can find all sorts of videos from Danish farmers saying the same thing. An article at farmersforum.com, dairy crisis in Copenhagen, farmers accuse government of poisoning cows. This was published yesterday. Denmark's dairy industry has erupted in anger as farmers accuse the government mandated feed additive bovaire of poisoning livestock in a bid to curb methane emissions. Since October 1st, farms with over 50 cows have been required to dose rations with the chemical 3, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, but it's the Bovaire is the brand name. If the farms don't comply, they face heavy fines. Horrifying reports flooded in. Cows collapsing, miscarrying, suffering fevers, diarrhea, and plummeting milk yields. Some euthanized after agonizing weeks. So, I mean, if this was the test run of Bovaire, it seems like it has horrifically failed, but they're still mandating it.
Right. For climate change that we're told is not a problem for the foreseeable future, and we're going to live and thrive into the future. So people are watching this. Hey, it's in Denmark. Well, I'm in America. Who cares? The FDA has given this a green light.
Right.
So this is going into cows in the United States right now. Now that's under Biden's FDA. So what is the FDA right now going to do? We have a new FDA leadership. They can, under the veterinary services, that's where it's kind of not mandated, but this is the governing body. So it can be changed right now. They can say, you know what? Let's pull this out and pause this and do some more studies, because we're seeing reports around the world. Let's get some science to these farms to see what's actually happening, because this is the test bed. This is the test bed for what they're doing. And this gets into the milk. This gets into the cheese. And the FDA said, well, we don't think it poses a really serious risk to the humans, but they don't know for sure.
Right.
Show me the study where it says it does not 100% do that.
It's just, I mean, they're playing so fast and loose. And that was the other thing about Bill Gates coming out and reversing, you know, what he says about climate change. It's just like, well, thank God we didn't let you do what you wanted to. Because unlike COVID, which a lot of what COVID, the interventions around COVID were permanent, but a lot of them were reversible, right? You can shut down the schools, but you can open them back up again. You can't undo spraying chemicals in the air to block out the sun, right? You can't undo poisoning every cow in Denmark. Like, these are things that are permanent that you can't reverse. So thank you, Bill Gates, for admitting that you lost and we stopped you and you're not going to try to do this anymore. But, you know, if we'd done some of these interventions, there'd be no going back.
Exactly. And, you know, for people listening to this who have believed, because there's a critical mass of people who hook, line, and sinker believe this climate change narrative.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. It's not either or. The climate is changing.
Mm-hmm.
is it my breath? Is it a cow fart that's doing it? Or is it that big flaming ball in the sky that might have
right. some, and could be.
Most of the climate models, from my understanding, do not account for what's happening with the sun. And you know, one of these things, this is not my area of expertise. My wife is actually a major expert in this space of solar radiation and how it affects the planet, not only from the physical space, but also from, it's changing us as right. well. We're part right. of the planet. It's changing us. And so that, there's a whole group of scientists around the world that have been studying this, that have been blocked out of the conversation because they can't get funds unless they say it's anthropogenic, humans are causing it, otherwise you're locked out of your university or funding. But there is massive science going on outside of that that's showing this is a living system. Mm. There's things happening right now. So I'm not sitting here saying the climate is not changing. There are some changes going on for sure, but that's not how you change it, by giving the cows this experimental drug or blocking out the sun or whatever. And you've seen the guy now who has done that saying, you know what? See you guys. Thanks for playing. I'm going to shift to vaccines. I'm going to go back to my bread and butter here.
It is truly wild. In fact, we have another video of Prince William completely contradicting Bill Gates, ironically enough. This is at COP30, which was in the Amazon rainforest. But in order to get there, they had to cut a big swath through the Amazon rainforest and cut down like a million acres of trees for the climate agenda. It's like it's more insane than you could even imagine. Let's go to Prince William here, completely counter-signaling everything we just heard from King Climate Bill Gates. Let's watch.
I grew up with my father, the king, talking about the power of nature and the importance of harmony in the natural world. A subject he has championed for over five decades. It's a privilege to also represent him here today, as well as everyone else who has championed this cause for so many years. All of us here today understand that we are edging dangerously close to the Earth's critical tipping points, thresholds beyond which the natural systems we depend on may begin to unravel. The melting of polar ice, the loss of the Amazon, the disruption of ocean currents. These are not distant threats. They are fast approaching and will affect every one of us, no matter where we live.
There's Prince William just completely contradicting everything Bill Gates said. The melting of the ice caps, it's like enough already. We get it, it's a lie.
But two things when I see that is the European Union and the UK, they're already so far down this road. I don't know right. how they pull out of this because their policy, Germany's is completely cutting off their energy. I don't know how they pull out of this tailspin. A lot of people say the UK economically is dead. Spain has had power grid collapses. The entire half of that country went down because they switched over to wind and solar too fast. It just does not have the inertia to keep that moving when there's not wind or solar going. So there could be that they're just in it to win it and they're going down with the ship. That's the hill they're going to die on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, these narratives are when it comes from, you know, they, whatever it is, climate, whatever is agreed upon, that narrative goes out and it's almost like a dead man switch. When this ideology goes out, everyone is speaking these same terminologies and mm-hmm. it's hard to reverse it once it gets moving. It's like a ship liner. So maybe he just didn't get the memo. Maybe Bill Gates is going, I'm going to undercut this and make $1 million on it before these guys get the memo next year that we're all pulling out of this thing.
Right.
Who knows what's going on? But Bill Gates is definitely backing out of this thing.
That is so. And, you know, again, I see that as absolute victory for us. Like this, you know, as much as we talk about like all of these insane things, the vaccines are killing children and the climate change agenda is continuing, but also diverting. Like throughout all of this, we have to understand if it was up to them, if the American people or the free people of the world didn't stand up, we'd still be in COVID lockdown. We'd all be in COVID camps. We'd all be forced to take these poisonous vaccines like mRNA. Climate change we'd be blowing up nuclear reactors here instead of just in Germany. We have defeated this. We have spoken out. We have awoken enough people to the reality of this situation that they are being forced to change their agenda, which I think is an important message for like, especially our audience to understand and to really absorb because the forces that we're up against are so powerful, it can seem hopeless at times, but like we are making a major difference by awakening people to both vaccines, climate change, and all the other stuff that, you know, the High Wire and InfoWars talks about. We are winning.
Yeah. And it's about carrying that, you know, InfoWars, it's about carrying that information from generation to generation. Like you and I are standing on the shoulders of people, whistleblowers, people that gave their lives to pass this information along to our generation and to the next generation. And it, there's a continuous flow here. What do you do with this? Do you stop and say, oh great, we won, or flip past that on TikTok and go, great, Kennedy's got it taken care of, we're good, Trump's good.
Right.
You got to carry this on. It's not how that works. You don't get to sit back and have a leisurely life right now because all of these people gave that up. One of the things, I'm going back to Kennedy here, I'm jumping around a little bit, but some of the battles he's up against, the fluoride conversation,
right?
That's an interesting conversation because before I became a journalist, I was a researcher, I was going to school to be a doctor, and I was watching InfoWars and Alex, and a guy in there came on called Paul Connett. Mm. Paul Connett was warning about the dangers of fluoride in the water. I think he has a book called The Fluoride Deception. I read that book and I thought, holy cow, this is my, growing up, my dad always distilled the water, said you can't drink tap water. He just knew intuitively something wasn't in there. But I saw this, and fast forward to a decade after that, I'm interviewing Michael Connett, his son, who is leading the legal charge against the FDA and the EPA on this very subject. He started a citizen's petition. And that's through the FDA. It went to court. He won. He showed through the science in the experts that they had that fluoride is lowering kids' IQ. Not only that, there's also the judge said there are hazards at the chemical level that it's put in the water right now.
Right.
The FDA has to go back and the EPA has to go back and they have to reformulate. They have to figure out a way to get this out of the water. Well, the EPA said, we're not going to do that. We're going to fight you. And this was one of the big issues because that was the Solicitor General who fought that, who appealed that case. Everyone thought they won. Like, oh my gosh, we won in court. They're going to take it out of the water. The Solicitor General, on behalf of Pam Bondi in the White House, said, we're going to fight this. So Michael Connett is fighting this in court right now. I texted him before I came on the show. I said, where is this at? Because I want to talk about this. And he said, it may drag out another year. I mean, they're fighting us. So this is one of the issues. I mean, that's one of the things they ran in this campaign is get these, I call them low-hanging fruit toxins, out of the waters. This is fluoride. There's massive science showing harm on this. A court ruled it lowers children's IQ. You can't monitor the dosage for kids. And I saw a headline, the FDA is taking it out of children's supplements. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, who's buying fluoride supplements for their kids? And if you are, you probably should stop. But get it out of the water supply that's being used to make our food and cook and make and beer and bread and everything. It's everywhere. You got to get this stuff out. So, I mean, Kennedy's moving on these spaces, but there is static in there. I mean, there's so many moving parts that he's doing the best he can, I think.
Yeah, well, and I think he's having massive success. And, we're less than a year into his, being in office and already just racking up massive, massive wins. What do you think? We're out of time. Dang it. We could go on and on, man. This is really just absolutely fascinating. And there, like you said, so many different moving parts, but they're all intertwined. Jeffrey Jackson, thank you so much for being here with us. TheHighWire.com, where you can find out more. Where else can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, it's X, also HighWire Plus. If you go to HighWire's website, HighWire Plus, I have a documentary series there. I've had 5 documentaries on certain topics. I just go deep dives on them, polio, mental health, climate. So you can check those out. And again, thanks for having me on. It's impossible to tell how much help this organization, InfoWars here, and all the reporters have done to move this ball forward in this media space. It's impossible to understand what you guys have done. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I love it because so much we talk about is sort of, there's nothing we can do about it. What am I going to do about the war in Ukraine or whatever? But this is something you can do for yourself because it's your health and it's your family's health. Jeffrey Jackson, thank you so much for being with us, sir.
Thank you.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. a beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'll be joined very shortly by Scott Herndon for Ohio. We're going to talk about the LGBTQ issues, especially when it comes to, you know, locker rooms, bathrooms, the like. But other big things are happening. It appears as though there's a reason that we've seen John Brennan, you know, there's an emoji that actually perfectly represents John Brennan. It's the one where face is kind of surprised and it's shook and like the whole thing's vibrating. Like that's been his spirit for the last little while when he's getting in the face of reporters and he's, you know, making these statements that just don't make any sense. He's panicking. He's freaking out. He's practically vibrating with fear, knowing that all of his years and years and years of cover-ups of crimes, like, first they commit the crime, then they do the cover-up, which itself is a crime. Then they got to cover up the cover-up, and it's all bearing down on him. And it appears as though they made a major mistake. It looks like the Trump administration is seizing on the fact that they raided his house in Mar-a-Lago because now they can put the grand juries in Florida and have a much, much better chance of success than the controlled judiciary that exists in Washington, D.C. So this has them shaking in their boots. This has the potential to be a very, very good thing. And at the very least, it is frightening the enemy. So we celebrate it. Let's go to clip 35 here. Grand jury subpoenas rolling out. The deep state is running scared. Let's watch.
Of Donald Trump.
So, Ken, help me understand, if there were these previous investigations found no criminal wrongdoing involving Brennan, what changed? And what more do you know about this U.S. attorney? Is this a Trump loyalist?
It's someone connected to Pam Bondi down in Florida, definitely a Trump loyalist. What's changed in part, Anna, is that there was a criminal referral by the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, that when you read it, really didn't make a lot of logical sense. It strung together some things and tried to suggest that there was wrongdoing in the preparation of that intelligence assessment that really didn't stand up. But nonetheless, she issued this. She made it public. And that, we understand, is one of the basis for including Brennan in this investigation and suggesting that there's somehow new wrongdoing, newly declassified information, even though John Durham, as we understand it, had access to everything connected to that intelligence assessment and connected to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation.
So, Lisa, if they have issued grand jury subpoenas, does this indicate they are, in fact, planning to try to seek an indictment?
Not necessarily, not yet. However, Mike Davis, who is the person that Ken was just referring to, has gone on social media and sort of loudly advertised that in the Southern District of Florida, where Jason Quinones is the U.S. attorney, they're expected to convene a grand jury in late January. Convening of grand juries, Anna, happens all the time. And the fact that it is known in part may have to do with the fact that just in logistically, a clerk's office has to actually find grand jurors through the normal jury selection process. But why it is that Mike Davis is assigning a lot of importance to that January 26th grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, leaves people like me and Ken scratching our heads. What do people who are in the MAGA sphere know that we don't know? It could be that as part of these grand jury subpoenas and as the investigation continues, they are anticipating being able to present to a grand jury sometime either in late January or in the weeks and months thereafter.
So do you have a sense of the potential charges that could be in play?
I don't. And
I think treason might be one of them. I think treason could be in play. And here's the cool thing about treason. There's no statute of limitations. There's no little trickery they could pull like they tried with Comey, where they just, you know, hold off on filing the indictment until 5 years passes. And then, oopsie daisy, we can't do anything about it. And there's no statute of limitations when it comes to treason, which is exactly what these guys did. You know, it's like too little too late, but like, let's go. Let's get a move on. You know, I guess late January, we'll see the actual indictments of John Brennan. It's just like, how long until the perp walk? How long until we see these guys, their mugshots, hands behind the back, in jail? That's what we need. Please.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You can follow us on X at Infowars, at War Room Show, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following us on all the social medias and sharing this content. We just have more and more incredible information to get to. The story is at Infowars.com. Idaho YMCA allows man into women's locker room. I thought we were over this. I thought we'd settled this argument and we'd won that no, men are not allowed in women's locker rooms. Isn't that what we voted on around this time last year? Didn't Trump win promising to get rid of this absurdity and this insanity? Well, here to talk about it with me is Scott Herndon. He was elected to the Idaho Senate for District 1 in November 2022. He sponsored dozens of bills in the Senate, and many of his proposals received either unanimous bipartisan or unanimous Republican support and were signed into law. He was a founding member of the Idaho Freedom Caucus. He's also the top-rated conservative legislature in the 2023 Idaho legislative session based on the ratings of bills by the Idaho Freedom Foundation. And he joins us today to talk about this scandal at the Idaho YMCA. Mr. Herndon, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Harrison.
Well, so tell us about what is happening. What's the latest with this? And am I wrong? I thought we settled this. I thought we had a vote and they decided women have to have their own changing spaces. Why is Idaho, this bastion of conservatism, become a hotbed for this scandal?
Well, I'll start off by saying that the conservatives may be surprised to find out that even in red states like Idaho, there's plenty. Not very many, but in every neighborhood, in every town, certainly in every city, there are people that are left of center and that still buy into the, what I call the transgender mafia. It's the lie that men can be women and women can be men. And right here in my county, which is the very north of Idaho, we border Canada. And I'm in Bonner County and we have Sandpoint, Idaho, which is a small city, but it is filled with people who support this ideology. And about 10 years ago, actually a little bit more, it was back in 2011, the Sandpoint City Council passed an anti-discrimination ordinance and they included gender identity. Now, that does not explain what the YMCA in Sandpoint is doing today, because that doesn't override state law, doesn't override federal law. However, the YMCA, it turns out, has a policy where they do allow someone who identifies as a, that they're biological male and they identify as a female. They actually have an official policy here in Sandpoint where they would allow them into the women's locker room. And that's exactly what happened on October 15th here in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yeah, and that's what the story details at InfoWars.com. On October 15th, a lifeguard says she encountered a man in the female changing area of the Lighthouse YMCA in Sandpoint, a small city in North Idaho. She said she observed that the individual had a male chest, even though he was wearing a bra, apparently. And he was, before checking for vulnerable females or children in the locker room and notifying superiors about the situation, several higher-ups told Hook it was company policy to allow that kind of intrusion on sensitive female spaces, and presented her with documentation affirming as much. So they're going to bat for this man in a women's locker room. And of course, I mean, why do we even have to talk about this anymore? It seems so absurd that this was ever a topic of conversation. And it's almost like exhausting having to go through again the idea that, like, you don't want to open up this vulnerability, because no matter what you believe about transgenderism, maybe you believe it's a real mental illness and that, you know, you want to make, you know, exceptions for certain people. It's like all you're doing is allowing the worst predators free access to women. That's not saying they're all predators, but, like, clearly there are going to be some men that just are given a green light to go look at little girls in the locker room. Why? Why are we even talking about this anymore? Help me understand, Scott Herndon. Why are we still in this mess, and how do we get out of it?
Well, so we're in this mess because, you know, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as transgender. So female, a girl who was kind of masculine growing up with the boys, we called her a tomboy.
Yep.
And there have always been men who cross-dress. They like to dress like women. But literally, this transgender phenomenon is brand new. It's 10 years old, maybe going back 12 or 13 years. It entered into the lexicon in our culture. And we've seen it invade the public schools, this ideology. And we see a very high percentage of kids, an unusually high percentage, way beyond whatever was ever experienced in previous generations, identify now as LGBTQ. And what's happening, as we all know, is they're, when they go into a family facility that is a women's only locker room, this facility, the YMCA, is used by the school swim team, Sandpoint High School, by private swim teams. These are kids, female girls. I have five daughters that are in this locker room, and they're just innocently using the facility, think they're surrounded by females. And then suddenly on this one day, they find a man with man parts in their locker room. And that's a complete invasion of their dignity. It's a complete invasion of their privacy. And apparently nothing that we have in place yet. And I was the sponsor of the school bathroom bill in 2023, a co-sponsor here in Idaho, where we said it's absolutely illegal to do this in the public schools. We've since added to that law and says you cannot do this in correctional facilities. You cannot do this in juvenile correctional facilities and all of these state universities and colleges. But apparently we don't have a law in the books that exactly speaks to this question. So do we have to continue to make a dozen other laws? Well, apparently that seems to be the case. Otherwise, the YMCA is going to keep doing this unless people rise up and demand that this not happen at their YMCA. And there are alternatives. There are solutions besides passing another law.
So what would some of those solutions be? Because yeah, it just seems ridiculous to even have to write laws about this. It's like, why should we even be forced to, you know, okay, the YMCA, you can't have men in women's locker rooms. And at school, you can't have women. I mean, is there a one-size-fits-all solution to this, or are you going to have to go in and, you know, incrementally or piece by piece, you know, ban men from women's locker rooms? What is the solution here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would pass a law because there's several obscenity laws where you cannot do indecent exposure.
Right.
But if you look at it, that has with it this idea that you're going to attempt to arouse people sexually. And I could see trying to make that argument to a jury. And this guy says, well, no, I just think I'm a girl. And so he could maybe get off with the jury, especially today's juries who may be a little bit more sensitive. Though I will tell you, both Democrats and Republicans and libertarians and independents, I think the majority of them agree that we do not want this in the female locker room. But what I would do is I would fix that indecent exposure law. And I would say, look, you cannot knowingly, if you are a biological male, and we had to define those terms in Idaho code. We have the definition of male. We have the definition of female, boy, girl. You cannot use the locker room or changing room when there are, it's a multi-use facility used by other people as well that does not match your biological sex. So I would do that, but here's how you solve the problem. If you have this guy who has this mental illness who thinks he's a female, give him a single-use facility. And the YMCA has these.
Right.
Don't make girls go use the single-use facility. Make this guy go use the single-use bathroom and locker room. And don't put everybody else out. And that's the immediate solution. And they have these available at this YMCA in Sandpoint.
So why wouldn't they do that? I mean, that's such an easy solution. If you have, you know, the family bathroom or the disabled bathroom, whatever it is, that can be, that's just one stall. Yeah, he can use that. I mean, what is the issue here? Because it seems like the only reason they would not do that, they'd say, well, it would make him uncomfortable to be singled out like that. It's like, well, the girls are being made uncomfortable by having a man flopping around in the locker room. So if you're going to make somebody uncomfortable, he's the one who should be made uncomfortable. Why wouldn't they just do that? Seems simple.
Well, I agree. And that is the right answer. They could just do that because what we have right now is we have what I would call the tyranny of the minority. You have this one guy, as you're describing it, let's not put all the girls out. And they're the ones that are going to be completely offended. This lifeguard, Jenny Hook, who's experienced this guy in the locker room, these are actually traumatic experiences for females.
Right.
It literally makes you feel vulnerable. It destroys your innocence. It makes you feel violated when this kind of a situation happens. And they literally are emotionally traumatized. They're females. They get emotionally traumatized when a man basically shows his parts to them. And even if he doesn't, this is not where they expect the male to be. And so the YMCA management can right now make a decision to change this policy. It's within their control. They have the facilities in place already to accommodate this person, and they could simply do that in a single-use facility. And why they don't do that? It's wokeism, right? Mm. It's the thing that Donald Trump and MAGA ran against. It's the idea that we're going to all entertain mental illness together, that we're going to validate your mental illness. And I just don't think that's a good plan for America. It's not a good plan for traditional family values. And I want to see this policy changed at the YMCA before we have to go to the legislature and pass a law in January of 2026.
Yeah, it seems like it shouldn't be necessary to pass a law, but I guess in crazy world, I guess you have to pass specific laws about this. And there's just something very inconsistent about the argumentation, right? It's always, well, gender is a social construct and gender is different than, you know, sex, because sex is biological. But then we're talking about biology here. We're talking about he's a biological male, but somehow that gets lost in the mix. I mean, it's absolutely inconsistent. It's absolutely nonsense, all of it. And again, it's the women that are paying the price. What have you done in the past to help to try to rectify this situation and do you think you're going to have to start writing laws about this, or do you think enough pressure on the YMCA will get them to change voluntarily?
Well, I think both, and we've certainly put information out. I've posted this story to my ex account. I've posted it to Facebook. The current Republican Party chairman of our local county party, and we're going to be addressing it at the local county party. And I think it is raising awareness. And like I say, it's not even a party issue. This is a common sense issue. There are two sexes, period, and it's based on your biology and your chromosomes, and you can think you're something else and you can surgically alter yourself, and we made that illegal in the state of Idaho as well. That's another area that we had to touch. We had to make it a criminal offense. It's a felony to give a child drugs or surgery in the idea that they're going to change their biological sex. You can't change it. These are things that are unalterable. You are made by God that way, and we need to respect the way everybody is made and not give into this fiction and violate everybody else. But certainly we got to spread the word. People need to contact the YMCA. And it's apparently it's not just this YMCA. This is also a problem that extends into Washington State. We are the Pacific Northwest. Even though we're the red state of Idaho, we're surrounded by liberal states. To our west, we've got Washington, Oregon, California, pretty close by. And that their policies, basically, we find out that these policies are national. So, for example, this policy on the YMCA, there have been other problems with this around the country, and there have been people fired from the YMCA for opposing these policies as long as 10 years ago at the YMCA. The YMCA used to stand for the Young Man's Christian Association. So this certainly isn't Christian to impose men into female locker rooms, and the YMCA needs to have pressure put on them to go back to their roots, to at least respect girls and women. We've covered it in women's sports. We were the first state to pass the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It should be our culture now, but we're constantly having to push back against this problem until it's completely eradicated.
Yeah, and it seems like, yeah, we're just sort of like putting patches, like every, you know, there's men that have to patch that, you know, there's men, you know, beating all the women in sports, patch that. It's like, we almost just need one comprehensive, like, we're just not doing this anymore. This is absurd. This is nonsense. And anybody pushing it, you know, needs to be held to account for it. Again, I'm talking to Scott Herndon. You can follow him on X at Herndon for Idaho, where you've posted some of this information. The website is the same, Herndon for Idaho.com. Help expand out a little bit. I mean, what do you think is really behind this? I mean, do you really think that this is just, you know, this phenomenon that happened to crop up? And we've seen that it's peaked recently and started to go down. I mean, what do you think this symbolizes, in, you know, in a wider societal way? Like, what is it that's drawing people to this? Why are people so disconnected with reality that they not only accept this, but will, like, fight for it? What do you think the transgender phenomenon really means for America?
Well, I think the transgender phenomenon basically came out of the LGBTQ culture and the movement to progress LGBTQ rights. Now, what is at the core of the question? What's at the core is the question of what is fundamental truth. Charlie Kirk was really good when he would go to campus and he'd say, look, everybody has some foundation of truth. What is yours? And I think the LGBTQ movement and this transgender, gender dysphoric movement is about not acknowledging that we have one creator and that there's one source of truth. And so essentially at its core, it's rebellion against truth. It's rebellion against biology. It's rebellion against science. It's ultimately it's rebellion against God. And this has been part of the, as long as humans have been on Earth, they've pushed the envelope of, do I want to obey certain realities that are in life? And ultimately, then, if there are realities that are based in truth, then there's accountability to a creator. And America was founded by mostly by people that had a Christian ideology. And so that's where we had our foundation in truth. That's what the common law, that was the foundation of our laws in this country. That was essentially the foundation of our culture in this country. Western civilization is a Judeo-Christian culture. I think where this came from is that in public school, we push God out of the public schools. Most people go to public school for their education, and this and public schools have been a hotbed for advancing LGBTQ-friendly ideology. And I think that's where the problem has been. And then I think social media has magnified the ability to push out whatever messaging people want to push out on this front. And I think that's why we've seen such a rapid advance in the whole transgender ideology over the last 15 years. That's really the time that social media came online. And then the last 10 years, they've really been advancing this concept because what they want people to do is turn away from truth. They want us to believe a lie. We saw it during COVID. We see it with transgender ideology. So it's sort of a consistent theme of those who oppose truth ultimately.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, I always feel bad for the parents that don't know what's going on. They, you know, they're just trying to raise their kid. And one day their kid starts saying, well, I think I'm a girl. And they go, well, this is kind of weird. And they go talk to the teacher or whatever. And they say, well, you know, it's best just to confirm them and go along with them. And they just think they're doing the right thing. They just want their kid to be happy. They have no idea the kid's being indoctrinated into this. The kid's being, you know, either seduced by like weirdos on TikTok or his teacher is telling them. And we've heard stories where they're, you know, well, this kid will stay back during recess. All the other kids will go, but he'll stay back and put a dress on. I mean, it's creepy beyond belief, but people don't realize. They think this is just, well, I'm just accepting. People feel this way, and I want them to, you know, feel who they really are. And they think they're being nice. They don't realize this is an attack. This is a deliberate attack against you, and it's being perpetrated by these propagandists that are lying to your children. People don't understand that, and so I think they're able to be led down this, you know, this path to destruction. by being told this is what you do if you're a good person. You accept this. You don't hate the person for how they are. And I don't hate the person for how they are, but I also don't want them in the locker room. And there's nothing inconsistent about that belief. So what do you want people to know, like parents to know? If they, maybe somebody thinks this is overblown or who cares, like what would you say to them to say, no, this is something you should be concerned about?
Yeah, I would say that this is real. That's the first thing I want parents to know. And it's every school in America. It's every community in America where this ideology is being advanced. Because if your kid has access to a smartphone and the internet, and certainly if they're in school, they're seeing this ideology. And the reason it's such a hook for them is because kids in particular have a strong need, all humans do at a certain level, to feel accepted. They want to be liked. They want to be accepted. And so the message of accepting gender ideology, the idea that you can just be a different biological sex, the message behind it is we want that love means affirmation. But the reality is that's not true. Love is telling someone the truth. And the problem, if we affirm people in a lie, in the long run, the reality is the LGBTQ movement is very destructive because God really did design us to be in male-female relationships, monogamous relationships, traditional families, have a lot of kids. I've had 8 with my wife. I've been married to her for dozens of years. And that's where you're going to find true happiness. And you're going to find true happiness walking in the truth, walking in obedience to God. And so if we affirm the lie, they're going to find out later on that there's no happiness there. I have a cousin who is a lesbian, and they were actually involved in a murder. I can tell you about multiple LGBTQ people that in extended family or friends of family that I know, and they have seen nothing but unhappiness walking in a lie. And so parents need to know that we don't want to affirm people and untruths. Doesn't mean we don't be kind to them when we're telling them the truth. And that was one of the great things about Charlie Kirk. He was very friendly. You don't have to be mean. We're not being mean when we say we don't want a man in the girls' locker room. We're being protective of our females. Society should be noble. It should be honorable. It should protect the weakest and most vulnerable among us. And certainly our girls are, compared to a man, are vulnerable. We want to protect them, and we don't want to affirm untruths. So this is what parents need to know. It's in your culture around you. It could happen at your YMCA. It could be happening in your public school if you don't have a law like we do in Idaho. You need to be on the lookout for it, and then you need to push back on it. That's what parents need to know.
Exactly. I love that you said that at the end. And there's a video that went viral earlier this week. And again, it's just strange that this is cropping up over and over again when we haven't heard too much about this for the last couple of months. Maybe everybody went sort of into hiding with Trump, and now they're like coming back out. I don't know what it is, but the video went viral earlier this week of a woman who was a black woman in a gym in New York, and she's screaming and yelling and going, there's a man in the locker room. And it's like, yes, this is what we need. Don't be quiet about this. You know, you have to be peaceful. You know, obviously you shouldn't commit violence or, you know, vandalize anything or anything, but you certainly shouldn't stay quiet. You know, we have an issue where we're polite, we're Christian, we just want to go, hey, I think there's a man in there, and this is kind of, but you got to get loud. You got to let people know what's going on. You got to make noise, because that's the only way anything gets solved. At least that's my opinion. Would you agree, sir?
Well, I'll give you a good point, Harrison. That would be excellent, because what if when Jenny Hook saw this man in the locker room, she came outside of the locker room and got all the good men and women that are there that know the truth and obey the truth and would be offended by this to say, hey, let's stop everything that we're doing and demand that this man leave this locker room right now. That if they did that at the YMCA, and you could be polite and do that, but just stop the action at the YMCA and say, hey, management, we need you to remove this person right now.
Yep.
If you did that at every YMCA when this came up, I guarantee the YMCA is going to take the path of least resistance, and they're going to change their corporate policy.
100%. And again, just as you point out, it's nice to tell people the truth. The nice thing to do is to tell people the truth, and there is nothing meaner or more vicious than taking, you know, a young girl who's in, you know, vulnerable and going through changes, you know, in middle school and saying, come with us. Really, you're uncomfortable because you're actually a boy. The reason you don't feel like you fit in with your friends, that's because you're not with us. Come with us and we'll show you the right way. And then just mutilate them and, you know, change their lives forever. It is brutal. It is vicious. It is mean to go along with that. It's nice to tell the truth. I really think that's the way to to put it. Thank you so much for being with us. Scott Herndon at Herndon for Idaho, herndonforidaho.com. Thank you so much. And I hope we see a positive change through all of this, sir.
I hope so as well. Thanks for having me on, Harrison. Hopefully we get the word out and things change for the better.
Absolutely. And of course, the article again is on InfoWars. Idaho YMCA allows man in women's locker room. Share that around. Tell your friends and vote Scott Herndon if you're in Idaho. HerndonForIdaho.com.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist, New World Order, BlackRock, UN, WEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and LA anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, and as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 million people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. And they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Support us, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com. I got some more videos to show you here in the final segment of the show. We're going to return to the topic that we were discussing before our guest, which was the ongoing civil war on the right, which is, I guess, one way to think about it. Some more footage is coming out. Some more videos are dropping with Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly. I think Tucker Carlson should run for president right now. I think he should start right now, and he should say, I am going to be the challenger in 2028. Maybe J.D. Vance, maybe Ron DeSantis will challenge him. We actually have a lot of good options on the right. A little silver lining. When you look at the Democrats, it's like, who do they have? Oof, right? It's just, it doesn't look good on that side. On our side, we got J.D. Vance, we got Ron DeSantis, we got Tucker Carlson. Like, there's really a pretty deep bench of people. But I think Tucker Carlson would say, I'm running for president in 2028, and I'm going to be the America First president. And if you want to try to preempt me, then you got to start passing America First legislation. You got to start imposing the America First agenda, because otherwise I'm swooping in and I'm going to steal your throne. I think the heat needs to be lit under the Republicans, and I think that would be an effective way to do it. I also think Tucker Carlson just seems right about everything most of the time, so I think he'd make a great president. But at the very least, I think he should announce, in order to light the fire under the Republicans, so they know, hey, we better start doing something for the American people, or else we're going to lose the control that we've had. Because what they're doing now, I can't remember who I was listening to saying this, but anyway, it's obvious, is that what's going on right now is about control of MAGA in the future. Right. It's about what happens after Trump, and does the MAGA agenda continue, or do we revert back to the way it was before? Actually, I think it was Tucker Carlson that was saying this. Actually, I think I'm quoting, or, you know, referencing Tucker Carlson in the interview that he did yesterday with a challenger to Lindsey Graham, because he's talking about how these swamp creatures like Lindsey Graham just stay in office round after round after round. They keep getting elected, even though they are so fundamentally at odds with the desires of their constituents. So the question is, once Trump is gone after these 4 years, is it reverting back to Mitt Romney and Lindsey Graham, or is J.D. Vance and Tucker Carlson going to pick up the torch and run with it? And the establishment is entirely dedicated right now to making sure that we revert back to that paradigm we all suffered under for my entire life up till President Trump, which was the left wing on the march, aggressive, getting what they want, getting things done, using governmental power, and the right wing constantly hamstrung by our own, inadequate and not always applied beliefs and, you know, fundamental, foundational policies. It's really an important question. It's about who becomes the leader of the free world in the future and what America looks like in the next 4 years. So I think Tucker Carlson has his finger on the pulse. I think he understands much more than just about anybody else in media or politics, outside of like the dissident side, outside of us at InfoWars and, you know, Nick Fuentes. Like, yeah, Tucker Carlson gets it, and he's a great spokesperson for this side of the aisle. And he has shown himself capable of standing up against the overwhelming pressure that has been imposed upon him. In a way, they're doing Tucker an immense favor. And we've been laughing at the fact that they're targeting Tucker this whole time, because why Tucker? Why would you choose Tucker? At least with Nick Fuentes, you can take his clips out of context and make him look like a bad guy. You can't even do that with Tucker. So you're trying to tell us that we have to destroy a well-respected, well-reasoned, you know, very congenial and, you know, friendly guy. You're telling us he's the worst thing in the world and we have to destroy the Republican Party if it means we can't get, or, you know, either get him out or just destroy the whole party. Like, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. This is strategically retarded. And I think what it's really doing is showing all of us that Tucker Carlson has what it takes. He's got the ability to maintain his course regardless of what he's being bombarded with. So in a way, they're really doing a disservice to their own interests. Because all they're doing, the more they push on Tucker, the more it shows he's got the metal and the steel to deal with it. So, you know, they're fools, they're hysterical, they're panicking, and they're making mistakes as a consequence of that. So let's go to, we've got two clips from Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly here. The first one is Tucker Carlson putting Megyn Kelly in her place because apparently she made some unkind comments about Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson wasn't having any of it. Let's watch.
Nick Fuentes has said a long list of very vile things.
Big time, including attacking my dad, which was the most vile of all, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I personally have watched videos of him questioning the Holocaust, likening it to baking cookies in the oven, and yep. There's no way you could have gotten to 6 million, seems to be his theory. He seems to think that we've way overstated the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. He's ripped on poor Usha Vance in the most offensive terms, which so what do you say to those people? Say, why didn't you raise any of that?
You know, do your own interview the way that you want to do it. You're not my editor. Buzz off. I mean, I don't know. You want to go yell at Nick Fuentes? I'll give you a cell. Call him and go sit and yell at him and feel virtuous or whatever. That's up to you. I got the same thing with Putin. Why aren't you yelling at him? Okay, why? So I can show that I'm a good person? I care about what my wife thinks, my children think, and God thinks, and that's it. I don't need to prove that I'm a good person to you. You may think I'm a terrible person. Okay, I'm just doing my thing, which is I want to understand what people think, and I'm committed to that, and if you don't like it, don't watch. That's my view.
Was that so hard? Was that so hard, folks? That's all it takes. It's literally that easy. Are you listening, Jeffrey, or whatever your name was? Who was the guy from the Heritage Foundation? Kevin. Hey, Kevin, are you listening, Kev? Are you listening, Kevy boy? Doug Carlson just showed you how you can stand up to literally anything. These people don't have a gun to your head. These people don't have, you know, your children in a cage over a shark tank. Like, what are they going to do to you? They're going to bitch. They're going to whine. They're going to complain. They're going to text you. I've already told people how to do this. I explained the call. When the call comes in, you say, oh, okay, oh, I had no idea. Oh, wow, yeah, that's wow. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Click, and then you just do what you're going to do anyway. That's what you should do. That's the way this goes. And by the way, just record it. Record it, release it, share the text messages. Can you believe what these people are doing? Because nobody likes this. Nobody's on the side of the bullies, and that's all these people are. Nobody's on the side of the coercion. Nobody's on the side of the blackmail. Nobody's on their side. Everybody is looking for somebody who has the balls to stand up to them. We talked about this yesterday. Why did Mamdani get elected? Yes, he was, you know, anti-Israel, and there's a big anti-Israel contingent. But more than that, it's the fact that he stood his ground, that he had an unpopular opinion, and when he had five different people shouting at him, but do you believe Israel should be a Jewish state? Say it should be a Jewish state. He just went, no. And now you got whole parks full of women who don't even know why they're voting for him. They just know they like him. Why do you think that is? Well, it's not their policy. They don't even know what he believes. It's not his, you know, economic intelligence. They're all dumb as rocks. What they know is that he seems like a nice guy that isn't able to be bent and defeated and pressured. That's the secret sauce, folks. It's not that complicated. You think that you're like saving yourself trouble by going along with this. Have we not learned this lesson over and over and over again? You know what would have been easy? Just taking the vaccine. Yeah, they wouldn't have had to bother you. You wouldn't have had meetings at work. You wouldn't have had to wear a mask anymore. It would have been so easy just to take the vaccine. Do we choose the easy route every time, or do we choose the right route? Do we do a thing that's slightly more difficult because the end run, you end up significantly better? See, it would have been easy to take the vaccine, but then your heart would have exploded and you'd be dead. So you did the right thing by taking the hard path. Where is Kevin Roberts right now? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Heritage Foundation didn't even recover from this because of how outraged people are at his spinelessness, at his quisling behavior. You think what you're doing is the easy way out. You are only setting yourself up for failure. You're only making your future so much more difficult by not standing up to these people. I've told you, nobody calls me. Nobody tells me not to have people on because they tried once and it didn't work, so they stop. That's how this goes. Now, they might bankrupt you. You know, maybe they are, you know, holding monetary blackmail over you, basically. But you know what would happen if you came clean with that? Like, what do you think would happen if Charlie Kirk had come out and made a video and said, guys, I just lost $2 million donor because I refuse to co-sign the genocide going on in Israel? He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say it that way. But what if he came out and said, my donors are telling me to express this thought that I don't believe. And because I'm not going along with Israel, because I'm asking these questions, because I'm having Tucker Carlson on my stage, I just lost $2 million. I'm calling on the TPUSA audience. Can you make up that difference for me? I'd donate $100. Who wouldn't donate $100? Who wouldn't donate their spare change or whatever? Do you realize how many millions of people in this country are desperate to serve and help with an organization that shows it's truly principled, truly has their interest in mind? You think you're doing the right thing by, you know, and you know, Charlie did do the right thing. They took away the $2 million. They said, you know, disinvite Tucker Carlson or we'll take your $2 million away. And he said, screw you. And so they took the $2 million away. He did the right thing, but he lost $2 million. He should have come clean with that. He should have exposed that person and called on TPUSA to make up the shortfall. And they would have in spades. Do people not know this? Are you not aware of the world that we're in right now? Are you not aware that every human being can have a direct connection with you through social media? That you don't have to rely on the media. You don't have to rely on news stations or newspapers or books or publishers or anything. You don't have to rely on anything. Tucker gets it. Well, where is everybody else? Why is Kevin from the Heritage Foundation or Donald Trump or any of these other people, they act like we're still in this paradigm where, like, these people have this incredible control and can destroy your life with a single report on national news. Nobody cares, folks. Nobody cares about what they say anymore. Nobody buys it. The more they attack you, the more popular you become. How are people not understanding this yet? Have we not taught you the lesson? Have we not led the way? Have we not blazed the trail that's now just an open road for you to travel down? Tucker Carlson's obviously falling behind. Where's everybody else? You can't free the country if you can't even free yourself, okay? If you can't even free yourself from the coercion, if you can't even free yourself from the pressure campaigns, how are you going to save anybody else, folks? It is the ultimate simplicity to just say no. Just say no. That's what we need. We need to bring back the old DARE program. Just say no to social pressure. Just say no to self-imposed censorship. It's really not that complicated. Let's go to the next clip. This is Tucker talking about Representative Randy Fine. Randy Fine, big fat Randy Fine, we like to call him. He's a big fat Jewish guy who thinks that all Palestinians deserve to starve to death, and once said that he didn't wash his hand after he shook Netanyahu's hand until he could touch the heads of his children, because that's how much he worships this baby-killing genocidal maniac Netanyahu. Here's Tucker Carlson saying what he thinks about big fat Randy Fine. Let's watch.
The main criticism, as I understand it, has been, well, yes, platforming. They say that. I don't accept platforming as a valid objection.
Yeah. What is that a verb, by the way? You take a noun and you make it into a verb and nobody says anything? As a former editor, I say no.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Honestly, but like, as far as I know, Nick Fuentes hasn't eaten anyone. You know, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer ate people, and he was platformed by Diane Sawyer.
We have a sitting member of Congress. I spoke to the Speaker of the House about this today. We have a sitting member of Congress from Florida called Randy Fine, who was literally texted or put on Twitter, we should kill them all, every single one. Someone texted a picture of a dead baby, and he laughs at it. Mm. And it's like, this guy's a lawmaker who's appropriating money to a military committing genocide, and that's cool? It's not cool.
No.
And let's just be honest. That is much worse than anything Nick Fuentes has said, period.
So the main pushback has been when you had Jeffrey Dahmer or the Ku Klux Klan or et cetera, these journalists went after them, like exposed the terrible things. And Nick Fuentes has said a long list of very vile things.
Right, big time.
That's including the clip that we saw. So we already know that one. And, you know, they're acting... It's not that complicated, folks. they're not, you know, they don't treat Nick Fuentes like Jeffrey Dahmer because Jeffrey Dahmer didn't have a compelling political case to make. Nick Fuentes is not the same as Saddam Hussein or, you know, Ted Bundy, because those were maniacs that were just trying to get one over on people, and you can see through it, and they're convicted murderers. So what's the harm of interviewing them? They're behind bars, and nobody's going to be convinced to be a murderer because of them, right? Doesn't matter how charismatic they are. They're not going to, you know, go on TV and go, let me tell you how fun murdering was. And a bunch of people going, maybe I'll try that. Yeah, I think they don't care. There's, because there's no influence. Yeah, there's a reason the first time I shook Netanyahu's hand, I did not wash until I could touch the heads of my children. The redheaded libertarian, what? I'm sorry, what? What's the reason, I wonder? This is ridiculous. So, you know, going back to the Heritage Foundation, they sent out an email. Again, just going over it. So, like, they were trying to cancel the speechwriter of Kevin Roberts, who's the head of the Heritage Foundation, because the Heritage Foundation refused to cancel Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes. So Tucker Carlson interviews Nick Fuentes, then the Heritage Foundation sides with Tucker Carlson, then they want to fire the people at the Heritage Foundation for siding with Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes. Do you see how poisonous this pattern is? That you have to denounce him or else you are now a Nazi, even if you interview him and disagree with him. So the reason they don't want Nick Fuentes to be interviewed is not because he's particularly dangerous. It's because he's particularly convincing. Because he has an ideology that opposes theirs, and they're trying to limit exposure to him because they know that in the free marketplace of ideas, they lose, he wins. It's not a threat of Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy's not going to be able to make such a compelling case for raping and murdering college girls that suddenly everybody thinks that's an okay thing to do. That was never a threat. Nick Fuentes is a threat because his political ideas are powerful, because the spirit he represents is rising and is seeking to replace them in the power structure. And so they're fighting back against him because he's a threat. They're silencing him because they have no arguments against him. If they thought that they could beat him in an argument, if he was so repulsive and so stupid and so whatever, then they would be happy to have him on because they would smack him down. What happens when people debate Nick Fuentes? They first of all end up liking the guy. Look at Dinesh D'Souza. And they end up getting blown out of the water because they're wrong and he's right. It's a completely different situation than a Jeffrey Dahmer. And I would think that would be obvious. From Audrey Fallberg, here's an email that the co-chairs of the Heritage Foundation's National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism sent to task force members on their new demands to Kevin Roberts in the wake of Heritage's Tucker Carlson Fuentes fallout. It comes as task force members continue to resign in protest of Heritage's alliance with Tucker Carlson. They're allied now. They're like an axis of evil. Quote, if we are not able to come to an agreement soon, the relationship between the Heritage Foundation and the task force will be irrevocably harmed, the letter warns. So, again, we just got to keep going back to it, because the other day when we were covering the first sort of backlash against Tucker and Nick Fuentes, I had to keep reminding people, remember, all that happened here is that he talked to Nick Fuentes. That was all. I mean, they were acting like, you know, they're out there plotting, you know, designing new gas chambers. Like, it's ridiculous. No, it was an interview. It was a very reasonable interview. It was a very factual interview. It was an interview that you would be hard-pressed to find anything offensive or out of line in the entire thing. Now, that was the initial spark. Now it spirals so out of control. It's not just that Nick Fuentes talked to Tucker Carlson. It's that the Heritage Foundation refused to condemn Tucker Carlson. So because the Heritage Foundation refused to condemn Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes, now the, National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism. That's a bit of a mouthful. I'll say Jews. Now the Jews have decided to mount a pressure campaign to demand that the Heritage Foundation be completely obsequious and slavish to them. And they are demands. They are making demands. First, they say, remove the video. They say, these are the recommendations that we give you. These are the recommendations that if you fail to fulfill, you know, we will continue our massive attack against you. We will continue to burn your organization to the ground for daring to not respond to these lovely recommendations we want to give you. Removing the video that created the firestorm. So delete your video. I'll translate these. Removing the video that created the firestorm. Delete that video right now. An apology to those Christians and Jews who are steadfast members of the conservative movement and believe that Israel has a special role to play both biblically and politically. You apologize for disagreeing. It's not that they have a view and you have a view and you're both entitled to that view. It's that you are bad and wrong and you will apologize for disagreeing with them. Number three, condemnation of any content that Tucker Carlson has hosted or statements he has made without calling for his cancellation or an end to your friendship, but an acknowledgement that you and Tucker have disagreements. You disagree with him and what you disagree with him about. Like, who the hell are you people to make these demands? And who the hell is Kevin Roberts to give in to them? You absolute pussy. You absolute coward. You absolute woman. What is wrong with you? If somebody made a list of demands like this for me, how well do you think that would go? I'd have a field day with it. I'd have a lot of fun exposing it all. I'd have a lot of fun doing the exact opposite of whatever they told me. But what type of person calls themselves a conservative and then gives in to this type of blackmail and coercion? You feckless loser. And it goes on and on and on. All these freaking stupid demands. But the last one is the one in it at odds here with the Heritage Foundation and the people that work there and their foundational and religious beliefs. Their sixth demand, I'm sorry, their sixth friendly recommendation is the task force members would also like to host Shabbat dinners with the interns and junior staff of the Heritage in partnership with Heritage to host conversations on Judaism and the Judeo-Christian tradition. Yes, you must come participate in our religious indoctrination. We appreciate your attention on this matter. If we're not able to come to an agreement soon, the relationship between the Heritage Foundation and the task force will be irrevocably harmed. Okay. Why is there a task force? Why does it exist? And why would you want a relationship with these pushy, bully, coercive scum? Scum. And then they give in. And then they give in to this. And somebody at the Heritage Struggle Session said, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I'd be comfortable going to a Shabbat dinner. Why would I, like, do I have to? Basically is all he asked. And now they're trying to cancel him and ban him and get him fired for merely saying, do we have to go to the Shabbat dinner? Which, of course, is absolutely a ridiculous violation of civil rights. You cannot have your company force you to go to religious indoctrination. This should be obvious, but they are trying to force that. And interestingly, the woman who invited to Shabbat dinner and then called the guy anti-Semitic for not wanting to go is Bethany S. Mandel. She says, the Shabbat dinner was mine. I did not demand it, Evan. I thought it would be nice. You're welcome to dinner at my home with my six kids if you prefer. My DMs are open. This is Evan Myers, who'd been credited with helping write Kevin Roberts' book and is reportedly involved in crafting his public statements and said he worked on the video Robert filmed last Thursday. And he said his faith prevents him from attending a Shabbat dinner. And so they're calling him, anti-Semitic. But interestingly enough, the woman, Bethany S. Mandel, is a demon. She's a demon. She's a monster. She's a horrible person. Conservative columnist doubles down on shocking call for revenge against effing animals in Gaza. So she thinks the Palestinians are animals, but you have to go to her dinner and be nice.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. takes about an hour to kick in. The methylene blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like methylene blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.